If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Good morning, vagina.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Compton.
Rise and shine, the sun don't wait. Now's the time, so don't be late. Get up now, wipe the sleep out of your eyes. Get up now, and feel the colors in. Get up now, come on baby for the ride. Get up now, and let the day begin.
And now.
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer?
So what'd you do at these radio stations? On air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
Our feature presentation.
Not voice, but personality.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32, and it is Monday, the 10th of March. Bow, bow. I'd like to hear Bean do the March Kapapa with thing one time.
So would I.
Let's try that.
Let's
start again and just try that.
Okay.
I don't really have.
So Bean, you come out of the open
in radio to be a personality.
So you come out and then you sit. Welcome everybody, and then you tell them.
Hey, it's 5:32 on the 10th of March.
Oh my God!
How'd I do? Good.
Poorly, Lisa.
That was pretty.
Let's
whiny.
Hear you try it once.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 5:33 on the 10th of March. Bow, bow.
Yay!
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Speaking of Lisa May, today be the best news ever? Could today be the day we've all been waiting for? I hear whispers that Lisa May has a website coming soon.
What?
Is that true?
It's not what you think.
Is that true?
Because
there's only one kind of website. I want to hear about from you, young lady.
It's not what you think.
It's called lisaonthepole.com.
Okay, explain the pink.
Come on, Lisa. What's the deal?
What is the deal?
Mike and I
did you do it 10 years ago?
Well, it's not naked pictures, Bean.
What is it?
So sorry. It's going to be
like another girl that's a cup. Right?
Oh, no.
Michael, come on.
You know, I checked my name years ago.
Yeah.
And there's some girl in Virginia who's selling real estate who has lisamay.com.
Right.
So okay. I can't have
she
that.
She hot?
Which makes sense. She's a realtor, right?
Not so much.
Really. Okay.
Virginia realtor, yeah. So lisamay.net was available. So
okay.
I got that. But it's it's like a commercial website. It's like, here's what I've done in radio and theater.
Oh, I see. On the pole.
On the pole. Okay, there will be one on the pole shot.
Okay, good. But I mean, you got to get some pictures taken for your website, right?
Oh, yeah. I had some pictures taken yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
I did. And there's a little cleavage in some of them, which, you know, I don't do much of.
Yeah, you're very stingy with cleavage.
You are stingy.
Very stingy.
That's true.
There's not that much cleavage to shoot, to tell you the truth.
But there's a lot more than you give up, I'll tell you
that's
that.
True. That's true. But I figure,
we've
honestly
been meaning to talk to you about that.
Generally speaking, there's plenty of cleavage for all of you on the internet.
Sure.
You don't really need mine.
No, you can never have too much.
Well, that's kind of what I'm learning.
You can never have too much. Doesn't matter if every woman on the internet has cleavage, good.
But there's one who's holding out. They
need
to do it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly have some suggestions. We can't help you with your website.
I bet you do.
If you need to fill up some pages or something like that, we've got some ideas that we'd like to suggest.
Well, I'll talk to you about that. I won't do anything that you suggest, but we'll certainly chat.
Lisa, how dare you?
You'll ruin it. No
one
will
good
ever
ideas.
Want to use me for anything
we have
except
good
porn.
Idea. Oh, well, that's true.
give me a job in porn website.
I got news for you.
What?
I'm just saying.
What's the news? I want to know what the news is.
I'm saying nobody wants to use you except for porn now.
Anyway, that's what I thought you were going to say.
I don't want to be a mean
bastard.
That's awesome.
Dashing my dreams.
Really?
Speaking of your dreams getting dashed,
yeah.
It happened to me over the weekend as well.
Oh, great.
What?
Your dreams got dashed?
My dreams got dashed. Tell me what the chances are of this happening. On Saturday, I'm in a watch and clock store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know the owner, Jody, who works there, lovely lesbian lady who works there and runs the watch store.
Right.
And she says, oh, I'm glad you're here. The news station, Como AM 1000, the all-news station in Seattle, is here. They're doing interviews with people. They're looking for people to talk to about the time change.
Are you kidding me?
They want people to talk to about daylight saving time. That's the interview topic. She wanted to know if you'd be interested in talking to her.
Please tell me you did.
Yes!
Yes!
And I know exactly what you went on and on and on and on about.
You people need to stop saying daylight savings time.
There's no S.
That's not correct.
By the way, Jody, who I know because I get my watch service there, she has no idea that I work in radio. She was just asking because right. they're looking for people. I mean, almost no one here knows that I work in radio, right? So I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. So I go on and, you know, I talk about the history of daylight saving time going back to 1916. I talk about,
oh, dear
you know,
God.
The Uniform Time Act of 1966. And I just go on and on. I mean, I can put myself in the reporter's shoes because Psycho Mike, you'll back me up on this. When you go out and interview people, you look for people who are chatty, people who have some knowledge on the subject, who have something that can fill up your tape so that you got something to work with, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you were being boring on purpose.
No, I was giving her gold. And I'm thinking, this is going to be so awesome. They're going to turn this into a 20-part series on the history of the time change by the time it makes the radio,
and now back
right?
to that dude in the watch store.
So I just gave him everything. And then I talked about how it was, you know, 2 days earlier this year than last. And last year was 2 weeks earlier than it was the year before. And how they keep screwing with it and talking about how people have trouble, you know, Monday morning after the time change, even though it's only an hour. You got to, you know, it still affects a lot of people and productivity is down. I gave everything I had on time change.
That
right?
person was trying to get you to shut the F up.
No, she was just delighted. She was
no, dead. Her eyes were rolling into the back of her head, but you don't notice because that's who you are, Bean.
That's true.
She was going to take that tape back, and she was going to go into management. She was going to say, "You got to clear the 5 o'clock hour because I've got the whole hour right here on tape."
Why?
So anyway, so then my phone rings a couple of hours later, and it's Jody, the Time Store lady, and she says, "Hey, I just heard from Como, the news station, and they're going to play our interviews from the shop at 5 o'clock, right after the 5 p.m. news today." And this was the funniest part. She said, "In case you want to tune in, if you've never heard what you sound like on the radio," which I thought was awesome. So I tune in, and I'm primed and lubed, and they're in front of the radio, and just all set, ready to hear my 20-part series on the time change. They used less than 2 seconds?
Yes.
Of what I gave them?
You know why?
2 seconds?
Boring!
No. The only line they used was, yeah, it's 2 days earlier this year than it was last year. That was it. That was the extent of it.
What a
extent
bird. Of it.
You are a dork.
They said they started with, "And what must it be like to have to change the time on 400 clocks? We're here at the time at the clock store, blah, blah, blah." And then they said, "And then customer Gene Baxter walks in to remind us, yeah, it's 2 days earlier this year." And then we spoke with, and then they move on. That was it.
Why do you think they only used 2 seconds? Too good? It was too good?
Too much gold. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Would have caused accidents.
They're afraid it would be overwhelming, the excitement about you talking about the time change.
Exactly. But boy, did I get served.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, did I get served. Wow, was that a reality check?
An example of how much interest Bean really generates.
Yeah.
A real example for him to see.
But he has that example every day. We try to tell him
us.
That.
He clearly doesn't believe
right,
us.
So he discounts
real
us.
Real people.
So now he goes to this reporter, and he's baffled by the fact that they didn't use all his gold.
I gave them 11 minutes that shouldn't be touched. I'll tell you that, man. They just had all the time change they needed.
Well, I think they made the right decision.
Well, it hurt. I will tell you. I got to be honest when I tell you that it hurt.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We have LaQuisha. We'll be back with highlights of That's Amore, which
awesome.
Is on last night on MTV. What's up with Jill Solbuehl? We've been trying to do that for quite some time.
That's a question I have frequently asked.
I can't believe we're really talking to her.
Well, she's an artist that had one song, and she wants to make a new CD, and she doesn't have the money for it. She doesn't have a record company contract, so she's asking people to donate. And if you donate a certain amount, she'll thank you on the CD. And if you donate a more, she'll put your name in the song. If you donate more, you can sing on it with her.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how far that goes, but What's up with Jill Sobule?
How much do I have to pay to be her? That's going to be the question. I mean, she might as well just hand it over to you. Let you be her for enough money.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
And retire.
So that's coming up. Why are people inviting guys to baby showers now? It seems
and
to be the deal.
More importantly, why are they going?
And they are going.
And they yeah. are going.
Yes.
Psycho Mike, Dave the King of Mexico, baby shower this weekend.
Yeah.
Alex says she's got guys at all the baby showers she's going to. She thinks
that's
it's
the
fine.
Thing. Yeah, no,
she thinks
I know.
It's fine.
No, I know that.
But I'm saying, how wrong is she?
Very. Very. Also on today's show, we got to tell you about Fat K-Fed. I don't know if you've seen this, but go to KREC.com, the Kevin and Bean page sites, and at the very top, there's two pictures of K-Fed. One is him when he was in his dancing shape, and one
Which
is
was
him.
About 3 months ago, by the way.
And one of him is now.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Also, Internet Roundup today, a special Jed the Fish edition.
Oh,
oh good.
God.
Yeah. We were on
He's
the
a douche.
We were on the floor in the office. It's, well, we've lost Jed.
It deserves a segment.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
His own segment.
Yes.
So that's coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, on Friday, I made a small mistake.
Mm. Yeah.
When we had Rob Dyrdek in.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Who?
Rob,
Who?
Rob Dyrdek.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Durden.
Yes. And we'll give you, I guess we're going to give you some highlights of that.
Real quick, I'd like to solicit calls for it. If you're the guy and you know who you are, the greatest man ever that called me on Saturday night while I was on my shift. He called, I picked up the phone. K-Rock here, he said, yeah, hey, it's Rob Dyrdek. And just remember, it's saving, not savings time. I'm out. And he hung up. I couldn't find it.
We got that, and we are hooking you up all week long with an Xbox 360 or a PS3. So
nice.
Let's see. You're listening for a song between 9 and 10. You're going to hear When You Were Young by The Killers. Caller 3 gets a Guitar Hero 3 in your choice of an Xbox or PS3.
That's very cool.
Pretty cool. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat now. I know. That sounds like Presidency of the United States of America from 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I like that band, by the way. I still like that band.
Lump.
Kevin, the kids call him Pusa.
Was that right?
Yeah.
That's
right.
By the way, if you're still a fan like I am, they have a new album coming out tomorrow, Presidents of the United States of America, in case you're interested. It's 5:50, Monday morning, Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Go Pusa. Go Pusa. Congratulations to Matt Damon and his wife, Luciana. People Magazine says that the kids are going to have a kid.
Ah.
Yeah. They already have a year-and-a-half-year-old toddler named Isabella. And Luciana apparently has a 9-year-old daughter, Alexia, from a previous marriage. So this will be the third kid in their marriage. But I bet Matt Damon's a good dad.
He just I would think so.
He's the kind of guy who's salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Not like that reckless gambler Ben Affleck. They're drinking and gambling away his kids' college money. Matt's the good one. Speaking of expecting, the New York Post says Kimora Lee Simmons is reportedly pregnant.
Oh, really? No.
By actor Jamin Hunsu.
Who is that?
Jamin Hunsu is a very talented African actor. You've seen him in Amistad, that movie about
Oh, I know exactly who you
about,
mean.
Oh, that
slaves.
Black guy that was
yeah.
on there? He was
He's
great.
A great actor.
He was also
actor,
in
yeah.
In America, I believe. Played the neighbor in
That's
In America.
Right.
Was brilliant in that. And we'll have his Oscar-winning, my prediction, his Oscar-winning performance in Never Back Down, the new MMA movie coming out this weekend.
Okay.
So I think things are looking on the upswing for Jamin Hunsu.
Sure.
He's
he
in Never Back nominated. Down, and he's dating Kimora Lee Simmons.
Yeah, that's maybe not the direction he should be going, but he has been even nominated for Oscars before. I mean, the guy's a terrific actor. What's he doing hanging out with her?
I have no idea, but I don't see what they could possibly have in common because she is so vapid.
She's
so horrible. I just want to – I can't watch the show. My wife watches, and I have to literally run through the room so I don't avert my eyes from the screen. Because if I just hear a piece of it, I just start screaming and yelling. And
you get dumber when you watch it.
You
That's
do.
True.
Yeah. She's horrible.
The only one I ever saw of that series, because my wife likes it too, is the one where she was trying to hire a personal assistant. And she just was interviewing person after person after person. She hated them all, of course. And she's just mistreating them and just foul and
really?
Mean and stupid. And, ugh, just hate her.
Stupid.
Uh-huh.
That's stupid.
New York Daily News broke over the weekend that Heath Ledger's will has been announced, and Heath neglected to update his will after he got married and had a baby.
Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
So everything was left to his parents and his sister. will was written in 2003 and signed in Australia, which all preceded his relationship with his Brokeback Mountain co-star Michelle Williams and the birth of their daughter Matilda. However, TMZ.com is saying that Heath's family has already released a statement saying, look, Matilda's our absolute priority. Michelle's an integral part of our family. They will be taken care of, and that's the way Heath would want it. So.
Heath Ledger took too many pills.
Oh, David Bowie.
Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills. Heath Ledger took too many pills.
Thank you, sir.
Heath Ledger took too many pills.
David, we get it.
Heath Ledger took too many pills.
Thanks for calling.
Heath Ledger took too many pills.
David, I think we understand what happened.
When will this guy shut up?
Yeah. Britney Spears has more problems.
Really? How can she have more?
That's what I keep asking myself every time she has a new problem.
Isn't
and then
she
one
topped
gets
off
added
with
on.
Trouble?
Nope. She's apparently got a little wiggle room, a little cap room for trouble. OK Magazine says she's got a stalker now.
A stalker?
Now?
Why? I don't know. 6 weeks ago, according to the magazine, someone started sending letters once a week to Britney. That quickly graduated to packages, and then those packages started to contain sex toys, pornography, and threatening letters.
Ooh.
Now?
Apparently, the stalker
yes,
has sent pictures of himself with his eyes cut out and some sort of yellow liquid coming out of his mouth.
Ooh.
What's that about?
Given Britney's track record with men, she is now dating the man who FBI says is a middle-aged Caucasian man with long, stringy hair.
Well, sounds sexy.
Wow.
That would be Bean, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you noticed, but
I was thinking of Rodney, by the way. How scary is that?
Shows you how off-base you are. Rodney's hair is always impeccable, have you? Never
That's
stringy.
True. That is true.
He's got sort of a bob. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the like of which since Dorothy
Beatles?
Hamill, I think, used to skate. But, yeah, it's quite luxurious. Shiny. Perfect place at all times.
Doesn't seem like you can get away with stalking somebody as high profile as Britney. It seems like you're going to get caught.
But this story is when she was hot, right?
No, this is now. Kevin, listen up.
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
Yeah, I hear you, Rodney. Good. Danny Noriega, who got booted off of American Idol last week, has a new gig.
Of course he does.
And I said this to my wife when we were watching the show. I said, I bet you know who loves Danny Noriega? You know who can't get enough of Danny Noriega right now, sitting out there somewhere in America? Freaking Rosie O'Donnell. I said, I bet Rosie O'Donnell loves this guy.
Yeah.
Because she always goes out of her way. Anytime there's some sort of gay or lesbian thing going on, she has to rush to their defense and make them the poster child for everything that's wonderful, regardless of how annoying that person is or not.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell has announced that she has booked Danny Noriega to perform on her next gay family cruise.
Well, sounds sexy.
God.
I think you're fantastic, she wrote on her website. I think you're a bold and brave and beautiful young man, and I admire you, Danny Noriega. You have an amazing voice, and your hair looks good straight.
What?
Huh? She actually put that?
Listen, I like to consider myself a friend to the gay man. I have no problems with gays.
Right.
I have no problems with lesbians.
Right.
But you can't give them all the credit in the world just because they're gay. This kid is an obnoxious, self-involved punk. Who is just marginally talented. I hate when people put him up on a pedestal just because he happens to be gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't knock him off the pedestal because he's gay. I wouldn't put him up there. It's just ridiculous. Rosie O'Donnell and her gay cruises.
Can you imagine?
You're a brave, bold, and beautiful young man. And how brave is he? He's just as brave as the straight kids who got up on that stage and sang. For God's sakes, Rosie.
Is it TMTH for you, Ralph? Is that what
it is TMTH. That's what it is. And congratulations to the cast and crew of Tanya and Nancy, the rock opera. The Portland, Oregon production of the show based, on, of course, on Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding going at it during the Olympics.
Sure.
Was scheduled to close, but it will now stay open because Tanya Harding showed up and gave the show a ton of love on opening night. Apparently, it was a lot of attention because Tanya actually showed up for the premiere of the rock opera. And that has boosted ticket sales, so they're going to keep going.
How funny.
Yeah, Nancy Kerrigan has yet not been to the show, oddly
Probably
enough.
Not, yeah.
I can't believe Lisa hasn't been to it.
I can't either.
There's a show that Lisa's
know.
Missed. Quick, let's take a look at the top 10 movies this weekend, shall we? In its debut, 10,000 BC, inexplicably,
made $35.7 million.
$35 million.
There is truly no accounting for taste. I don't know what anyone said, looked at that film and said, yeah, hurry, honey, get a babysitter. We got to go see 10,000 BC.
Really?
It was just savage, too, proving that no one pays attention to the critics. I mean, but it was just mocked unmercifully. Critic Schmidtix, what did you see in the commercial or trailer for that movie that made you go, yeah, I got
to
go?
Looked pretty good to me.
Just, well, there we go.
Special effects and whatnot.
The special effects. I'm sure really, people want to see dinosaurs.
Kevin's people cool. went, ooh, tiger. And then they just put down their money and walked in. College Road Trip was number two.
Wow.
Kids. The Martin Lawrence movie?
Yeah.
That's a 1-2 punch. $14 million made it number two. Vantage Point was number three. Semi-Pro was number four. The Bank Job, in its debut, was number five this week. And I went to see The Bank Job.
How was it?
Rush to see this movie.
Yeah.
Really?
It's freaking awesome.
Well,
it's better
fantastic.
Than I could have wildly expected.
Really?
And I have, I'm a sucker for these kind of movies because I mentioned on Friday when we did Movie Beat that I love heist movies.
Yep.
This is so much more than a heist movie. It's brilliantly written. And the heist part, which is fascinating, the movie doesn't really get even interesting until after that's over. It's the repercussions of what happens afterwards that's really terrific.
Fantastic.
And the cast is dynamite. I loved this movie. So check out The Bank Job when you get a chance. I think you will enjoy it. The Spiderwick Chronicles was number six. The Other Boleyn Girl was number seven. Jumper was number eight. Step Up to the Streets was number nine. Fool's Gold was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Penelope, the pig nose movie,
yeah,
mm-hmm. did not make the top 10. Only made $2 million this weekend. Take that, Christina Ricci. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, our producer Lightning has told us that Eli Manning is back on the phone, the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
No kidding.
Of the New York Giants. Good morning, Eli.
I'm Eli.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Eli. Hi, lady.
Eli, we had some fear after the Super Bowl that we would not have opportunities to talk to you, but we appreciate very much that you've kept in touch because we like keeping up with what's going on in your life.
No, I'm calling you.
Right.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm thanking you for that.
Hi.
Hi, Eli.
I'm 1-0.
You're number 10. Yes, if people want to see a picture of you, we have a picture of you up on our website, krock.com, Kevin and Bean page sites.
Yeah.
And I think they'll see what we're talking about, that the quarterback of the New York Giants does look like he might be a seventh-grade retard.
I'm retard strong.
You are retard strong,
yes.
Now, Eli, what are you doing with your time off? I mean, for an athlete to not be in competition must be, I don't know, is it kind of boring? Are you really enjoying the time off? Are you looking forward to the next season? No, you're not enjoying it.
No, I'm not bored.
Oh, you're not bored.
I won Super Bowl.
You did win the Super Bowl, yes.
Now everybody gives me things.
Uh-huh. Like what?
And asks me to do things for money.
Oh, you mean like endorsements?
Yes!
Oh, exciting.
Yes!
See,
yes!
Now that's interesting because your big brother Peyton has been a huge commercial TV star with all of his endorsements.
Don't hurt Peyton. Mommy said don't hurt Peyton.
You're not going to hurt Peyton. Nobody's hurting Peyton.
I'm retard strong.
But now that you've won the Super Bowl, now you can get a piece of that lucrative advertising dollars, right?
So I called to tell you about it.
Okay. What is it?
I am the new underwear model for Calvin and Hobbes.
I don't,
New Calvin and Hobbes underwear.
You mean Calvin Klein?
Yeah!
Yes?
Oh.
Yeah.
Very different.
You're their spokesman.
Yes, I wear underwear for Calvin Coolidge underwear.
Okay, it's Calvin Klein, Eli, but are you sure about that? Because I saw a news report on that the other day, and they weren't talking about hiring you.
What?
Well, the report I read said that, that Tom Brady is a model for the underwear, Calvin Klein.
Tom Brady didn't win Super Bowl.
He did not win the Super Bowl. That's correct.
I won Super Bowl.
That's correct. You did.
So I should model.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't
underwear.
It doesn't always work out that way. Tom Brady, the ladies think is dreamy and sexy, and maybe they'd rather have him in a commercial.
My underwear is better.
Maybe.
It's more interesting.
How's it more interesting, exactly, Eli?
Bacon strips.
Did you say bacon strips?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Eli. Skin mark.
I don't
Nobody
think that,
wants that.
I don't think that gets people to buy underwear,
Tom
though.
Tom Brady is dreamy, but my underwear is creamy.
Oh!
Wow.
I said it naughty.
You did, yeah.
Maybe this is why they don't want to hire you to promote their underwear brand, perhaps,
I'll
Eli.
Kill Tom Brady! I'm retarded!
No, don't hurt him.
You don't kill anybody. That's wrong. Now, you can't do that. You can't hurt people, Eli.
I want an underwear model.
I know, but you don't. I don't think they've hired you. I think they hired Tom Brady. It's his gig. Eli, you okay?
I'm a total retard angry.
Oh no!
Oh geez, this is bad.
What happens when you get?
What can I model?
What can you model?
Can I model
well, a helmet?
I'm wearing them on now.
Okay, good.
Mom makes me wear one all the time.
Yeah, well,
right.
Yeah, it's got a strap on it.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't hurt my hand.
Right,
that's
sure.
Smart. That's
and
smart.
And then I can put a beer on each side and straws in my mouth.
Oh, you have that? Very nice. Well, that's your endorsement, Eli.
They don't let me drink real beer, though.
They don't?
No. Because real beer is for grown-up boys.
Right. You should stick to headgear and let Tom Brady have the underwear contract,
oh,
I think.
Oh, Tom Brady, I hate him!
Yeah.
I'm...
Eli, take it easy.
Time out. Time out, Eli. Time out.
Oh, I just pooped a little.
I'm sorry, the Kevin and Who show?
Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to see if you got the name right. That's all. Friday, I don't want to take anything for granted
anymore.
We
don't need to go back to that.
I think we might.
We don't need to go back to that.
There may be folks who couldn't be with us late in the show
on
Friday.
We don't need to go back to that. I love the show Robin Big on MTV. I watched.
Oh, do you? You've seen it?
All three seasons.
Oh, really? So you know who the guys are? You know their names?
It's Rob Dyrdek and Big Black.
Okay.
That's correct.
And we had Rob in the studio on Friday, and I love him. That's all you need to know before you hear this.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big. Wow!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Rob Durden stopped by.
Why would I say that?
Multiple times.
I was going to ask you.
I watch that show regularly.
I'd like to know do you know a Rob Durden?
I don't.
Is that where that was coming from?
Why would I say that?
Your childhood friend with a Rob Durden?
I have it written down right on my paperwork.
Rob Durden. Did you used to throw rocks at the guy named Rob Durden?
No, Rob Durden. Robbie Joyner.
Rob Durden.
Wow.
You watch the show and you know,
I watch the show regularly.
And you know his name.
Yes.
Off the air, you've been fine.
Yep. Yeah. On air, you to his face every time called him Rob Durden.
Why wouldn't someone say, hey, what's that about?
Because it's too funny. We said, let's see how long Kevin can go before he corrects himself. Well, answer was, never.
Now I'm a jackass.
Now?
I'm just saying, I liked him.
You want to listen one more time?
Yep.
No.
Rob Dyrdek was in the station.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment.
Why wouldn't he correct
Kevin.
Me?
Too nice.
Polite.
Too nice.
What the hell?
I have bought the website, though. What would Rob Durden do? I've got that up and running. So if you need to check that out for entertainment news, you can find that.
We can't stop you, by the way.
That's a surprise. Yes, well, somebody could point it out if I'm being such an idiot.
No, when you see those interviews of, like, old Nazi generals that they find somewhere in Argentina, they're like, why didn't you try and stop Hitler? You're like, you can't. You just can't.
It just wasn't that. You don't know. You weren't there. It was a different sort of atmosphere.
That's
we feared for our lives. We were just following orders. That's what we say all the time.
That's embarrassing.
Right, I'm sure Rob Durden someplace is very happy that you mentioned him so much on the air.
Remember when I ran into, I can't remember which member it was of U2, I called him by the wrong name. That was good.
You sat next to him at the Grammys when you were a seat filler that year.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, Bono, how's it going?
I can't remember.
It was The Edge?
Yeah, something like that. I was like, oh, sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got a word scramble.
Rob Durden.
I've got a word scramble going on in my head.
Yeah. Maybe you should ask Corinne Raley Bay.
Come on, you guys. Don't let me be such a jackass if he's in the studio.
What are we going to say on the air live?
Yes!
Kevin, it's Durden.
You've never corrected me before on the air.
Well, I wasn't in the studio at the time to do that. I was in the other room howling with laughter.
They did put it up on the call screen. I think Lightning put up on the call screen with the pronunciation. It's Dyrdek is what it said up on the screen.
Yeah, and I was annoyed by that. Sure. Because I know.
That's right.
I was. I actually thought, what
and
is he doing?
And you ask why we don't correct you. Because you get annoyed at us.
I watch that show regularly. What a douche.
Because Kevin, God damn it.
The radio show in your head sounds a lot better than the one that comes out of your mouth.
I'm not a fan of me.
Yeah.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Rob and Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is going to 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Rob and Big. Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Hey, Rob.
Rob Durden's on Rob the phone Durden. Right now, Kevin.
Hey, Rob. Dude.
Rob Durden here.
Why is it that you would not, I mean, after the like third time, why wouldn't you correct me?
You want to know what? It was kind of funny to me. But
everyone's laughing except for me.
Look, but Bean kept saying, kept pronouncing, like, enunciating it at you. And you weren't hearing it. So I was like, it's almost kind of funny that you can't hear everybody else saying it. Trying to help him.
Every time I would say it wrong, Bean, they said, I don't even remember this, but yeah. Immediately afterwards would say it right.
Yeah.
And, well, because I didn't want our guests to be embarrassed.
And our producer put it up on your computer screen there for you to see, Kevin.
He did it. When I saw that up on the screen, I thought, well, I know that. Why is he putting that up there?
You got annoyed with him.
I was very annoyed. I had no idea. I was,
Yeah, you couldn't pretty much butcher it any worse.
Hey, you're lucky it was just...
Or dire deck.
Yeah.
But it's hard to miss that K. It's hard to turn that K into an N.
It is hard to do Durden, yeah.
Durden is fresh.
I don't know where that came from. I know your name.
You know what I'm saying? You want to know? You just know me as Rob.
I do,
Rob,
that's true.
Big.
But, all right, Rob, I'm sorry.
Hey, how lucky are you, Kevin, that only Rob came in and not Bag? Well, we're still getting the email. We haven't had much time to read it lately on the air, but we do get a lot of great contributions from our K-Rock listeners, and we're going to visit the email bag a little bit right now. People writing about a lot of topics, a lot of complaints. Every time Psycho Mike's name is in the email, they're complaining about something. And here's one example of that. Dear Bean, what the F? I'm sitting in bed trying to watch a biography on TV about Guns N' Roses when I hear a familiar voice coming on. It's none other than your own Psycho Mike, who's listed as a K-Rock DJ. Now, normally, I find Mike's contributions to your show kind of annoying, and he clearly has no place here either. What makes it worse is that he was pretty much right about what he said regarding Guns N' Roses, yet I still feel like I was being lectured, and I wanted the production crew ditch the cameras so they wouldn't have to listen to Mike anymore. The credits did start to roll as he was still talking, but still, didn't the directors do some kind of research into Mike's work? I mean, come on, he's a boob, right? Mike, what was the deal? What show is this? What channel is this? Why are you on talking about Guns N' Roses, and what could you possibly have to say about them?
Yeah, he went in the other room. Not here as much as in the next room.
Why did you start it?
All right.
Well, I didn't know you were going to ask him about it. I thought you were just going to read it. This one is about the Lakers and my love for Stu Nance.
Oh, yeah.
The Stu Report, Carlos writes. He just said, quote, you give up free points when you give a team that many opportunities at the free throw line. Really, Stu? Really?
I didn't know that.
Free points at the free throw line?
Well, your complaint about Stu is that A, he talks too goddamn much. B, he's Captain Obvious, right?
Yes, and that's what this guy says. Carlos says, I've been saying that Stu is Captain Obvious for years. I'm glad the truth is finally being exposed. I'm waiting for him to say, if the Lakers want to win this game, they have to score more points, which I have heard, by the way.
Yes, he does say that. That's true.
He kills me, Carlos.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, our producer Lightning was just incensed beside himself because he didn't approve of the rims that our intern had on his car.
Yeah.
I mean, you would honestly, you'd have thought that the kid mowed down Lightning's family, like killed everyone he knows with as mad as Lightning was at him because he didn't approve of the rims. Here's an email on that topic from K-Rock listener Ken. Listen, guys, you're being too hard on the guy. I think Lightning's concern for the appearance of all cars on the road is well-founded. I used to feel much the same way, and then I turned 19 and started dating. My parents, who are in their early 90s, feel the same way as Lightning, but then again, they can no longer work the remote on the TV and don't have any lives to get in the way of it, focusing on, I don't know, pressing issues. Stop it. Thank you, Ken.
All right. This one comes from Ryan. Hey, Kevin, I can't remember what celebrity interview you had today, but it was making fun of his speech due to a recent stroke. I believe that was the Nate Dogg Stroke Project.
Yes.
That's right. The rapper Nate Dogg, yeah.
Now, this email is so refreshing, and I wish people were more like this guy.
Okay.
I thought it was hysterical. I had a stroke last year, and I still have some speech issues.
Dude.
So in case anyone complains that the interview was in bad taste or something like that, ignore them. While it's tragic, you gotta find a way to laugh it off. Regards, Ryan.
Wow.
How about Ryan? We need him on the payroll so we can direct all complaints about any stroke comedy to him.
Yes, we do. Here's another one. Hey, Kevin and Bean, from Jared. I'm one of Moose's fraternity brothers.
Oh, really?
That's our intern. Yeah. Hey, Moose, come in here. Heard you guys talking about hot moms on the radio this morning. Ask Moose about his hot sister.
What?
Anonymous fraternity brother.
Really?
Moose, headphones?
Not true.
Pretty slowly.
Not true.
You don't have a hot sister?
You don't think she's hot?
I don't think she's hot.
But your friends think she's
hot. Do your friends think she's hot?
This may be a possibility.
Wait, Moose is very upset right now.
He really is.
Hey, the listener did the right thing by tipping us off. If there's a hot chick in our universe, we need to know about it, Moose.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Yeah, you need to bring in a picture of her.
Picture?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is she online anywhere? Does she have a MySpace or something? We can check it out and let you know whether you're just too close to it to see how hot she is?
No, she doesn't, but I will try to get you a picture.
Okay, fantastic.
Good. Okay, yeah. Appreciate that.
What? That came in. What?
How offended do you get by someone saying someone in your family's attractive, for God's sakes?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Well,
yeah,
Moose,
go ahead.
If it's not
ahead,
my
Moose.
Sister, it's my mom, and it's a problem.
All right, we need pictures of both.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Had a lot of response from the interviews that, again, Mike did out on the street in South Pasadena the other day. You know, they've got that kid who's made a lot of news across the country by starting the No Swearing Week. He's got that going down there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this, and you guys tell me if you've heard this, but a K-Rock listener, John, writes in that says the kid that came up with the No Swearing thing in Pasadena is the grandson of Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah.
What?
Did you guys know that?
No.
His name was McKay Hatch. I remember that, but I never, in any of the news coverage that I saw of the story, did I hear that his father was in Congress. He's also the son of a right-wing religious propaganda pusher who's trying to get attention for the crappy book that he wrote. Essentially, this guy is using the kid out there to make money in the name of morality.
Oh, his dad wrote a book?
His dad wrote a book and is pushing a book. That's what John's theory is on this. And I don't know whether there's anything to that or whether he really is related to the senator, but I was surprised I had not heard anything about that.
Yeah, we'll have to do some more research into that one.
It makes a lot of sense now, doesn't it?
And this one comes from JT. He writes to us from Davenport, Iowa. Dear Kevin and Bean, I moved to Davenport, Iowa 6 months ago and haven't heard your show since I left California. But it still annoys the heck out of me that you're still on the air. I listened frequently on my way to work and never did anything entertaining come out of your mouths. I don't know why I'm taking the time to tell you this. I guess I really hated listening to you guys for so long in Los Angeles. And I hate you now.
Why did he listen frequently?
I don't know. And I don't know why 6 months later he decided it was time to write us an email, but he did.
It must have really annoyed him.
And message received. Thank you, JT. We appreciate the input.
Kevin, when I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey-o, listen what I say-o. I got your hey-o, listen what I say-o.
And they never use yayo.
They don't.
It's just unacceptable in a rock and roll song when you got 9 million rhymes with ayo at the end of it.
That's right.
Sandwich, hold the mayo. Listen what I say-o. No yayo.
Angel with a halo.
The halo. Just come on, guys.
I don't think we
listen. You got enough drugs in your life? Ask for Shante. He'll tell you about it.
I don't think we listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers for the lyrics as much.
Yeah. Maybe not. Anyway, it's 6:47 Monday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on? What are people talking about? What's the deal? What's the haps? What's new?
Will you indulge me just for a second? I want to double check something.
Okay.
You were doing the what was that little segment you do where you read the emails? Or
email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were talking about the Lakers guy that you don't like.
Yeah. Did I call him the wrong name?
Can we take a listen real quick to hear what you're talking about?
Let me roll the tape.
Okay.
This one is about the Lakers and my love for Stu Nance.
Oh yeah.
Stu Nance. I'm pretty sure the guy's name, and I'm not a big Lakers fan, but I watch occasionally on the television, I'll watch a game. Isn't it Stu Lance? Isn't that the guy's name, the broadcaster you're referring to?
You know, I thought it was Nance, because I think you say Nance all the time.
You do. You say Nance all the time.
Him.
But it's
Lance?
Stu Lance is
no
the guy's
kidding.
Name, isn't it?
I did I say Stu Nance before?
All the time. No, I know for a fact.
Really?
Because when
him.
You said it, I thought, yeah, that's the right name, because that's where I hear it from, is
I know,
you.
Well, I know Kevin really worries about saying Stu Nahan.
Yes, that's true.
Almost every time we talk about the Lakers, he'll pull me aside and be like,
What's the guy's name that I hate?
And he'll write down the words like Stu Nahan and like cross them out on his paper in front of him. I'm not kidding.
Just to put that in his brain.
So maybe it's kind of like a
go here just one more time.
No.
I'm not sure. I think Stu Lance is the guy who does the broadcast.
This one is about the Lakers and my love for Stu Nance.
Oh, yeah.
Stu Nance.
I like him too. I like him too.
You love Rob Durden and you hate Stu Nance.
Yeah.
Kevin?
What's going on?
Kevin.
Are you concerned at this point, or?
Kevin.
Oh, God, no. Come on. If I get concerned, I won't be able to live with myself. I also got the wrong car last night after the Lakers. All right,
well,
time for the showbiz beat.
Whoa.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's
no,
Ralph.
No, the showbiz team's calling a timeout. Look over in the sidelines.
You already called a timeout.
Well, I still have a couple left. I haven't used any challenge flags so far this half.
Are you challenging that?
I'm challenging.
Come on. There's no instant replay.
I want to hear an instant replay of the story where you got into the wrong car
after the
Lakers game.
Yes. Hey,
how about a few details?
I was leaving the Laker game last night. I was pretty tired.
Right. And then what happened?
And then
you run into Stu Nance?
And my car pulled up and Stu Nance was in it.
Right.
And the dude got out and I walked over and got in.
This you valet at the Lakers?
Yes. Situation?
Okay. Yes. And then I got in, and then I looked around, and I was like, black leather seats, not my car.
Wow.
Got back out.
Thank God you didn't actually
Usually you drive away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on fire lately. I don't know what it is, but I was sitting there. That's what I worried last night. I took a beat while I was in the guy's car, someone else's car, and I said, truly losing it.
What am I doing?
Considering I stole a car one time before from the valet.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You would think that you, of all people, would be sensitive to double, triple checking before you get into somebody's car because you have a history.
I was in his car.
Nice work, Kevin.
You know what we need to do is put it like a flag or something on your car. Something, some easily identifiable feature.
Put a flag on me.
We need to paint on the side of your car, my car. So when it pulls up, you'll know it's yours.
The same color on the outside. Mm-hmm. Same vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Inside, very different.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe put a Laker flag on the car.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
Alex wants to know if you have to put name tags on your twins at this point.
Come on!
Oh, like he knows either of the twins.
That is not a problem.
We should bring the girls in and put them in a lineup and see if you can pick your two
see
twins.
If you can figure them out.
Yeah.
Put them in a lineup with other kids that aren't his, too,
exactly.
And see if you can
That's
pick out
saying.
Which ones are his.
Yeah.
Stu Nance.
Stu Nance's kids.
Okay. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? See what people were going to see. Apparently, a lot of people are retarded because they went to see 10,000 BC in its debut, the hilarious comedy of life with saber-toothed tigers. Mm. Now, it's a bogus action film. $35.7 million it made.
Wow.
And you know what that means, Ralph? It means your ultimate movie foe, Roland Emmerich, is going to continue to get to make movies.
I know. He makes crap and people keep eating it up with a spoon.
You know what else that means?
They came to party and they were disappointed.
That movie was released in 20 countries around the world this weekend. It was number one in 19 of them.
Good times.
Not just us.
People love the cavemen.
Maybe you guys are wrong. How about that? You ever think of that?
No, it bothers me. You know what it means for next year? 10,001 BC.
They're going to go further back?
10,002 BC, and we're just going to keep going and going. 10,002 the streets BC. Don't really need that. Number two was College Road Trip in its debut. The Martin Lawrence film made $14 million. Then at number three was Vantage Point. Semi-Pro was only number four at the box office this weekend.
What about that, by the way? How was that such, I mean, $5 million is all it made? What happened? What went wrong?
Don't understand it. I don't get it. Everyone, the office here that has seen the film loved it, laughed out loud. I can't understand why people aren't going in droves to this movie. Maybe it's the period aspect of it. Maybe people aren't interested 70s. In a film about the 70s or the ABA or whatever. Maybe
he's got a pretty good track record.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe it's the R rating. Maybe
that's a big part of it, I'm sure. Number five was The Bank Job, a movie that I went to check out this weekend, and I loved it. If you are a fan like I am of heist movies, this is one of the best ones I've seen in a long, long time. And the great thing is it's a British film. It's based on a true story. This actually happened, this bank job that they pull off. And so it's chock-loaded with British character actors, which I always find makes it much easier for me to get involved in a film because you've never seen these people before on television or other movies or something.
You don't know who they are.
Yeah, so you can really buy into the story. But Jason Statham is great in it, as is Saffron Burroughs. I loved this film. Check out The Bank Job. I think you will enjoy it. It was number five this weekend at the box office. The Spiderwick Chronicles was number six. The Other Boleyn Girl was number seven. Jumper, number 8, Step Up to the Streets. Step Up to the Streets. I can never figure it out. Number 9, and Fool's Gold was number 10 in the box office this weekend. Happy anniversary. On this date, 29 years ago, Wally Amos did something very important to all of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wally Amos.
Yeah. Maybe you know him better as Famous.
Famous Amos.
Opened his first Famous Amos chocolate chip cookie store. Mm. Oh, come on with the Famous Amos now.
Yeah.
It's not really showbiz news, but I just
down on Sunset that was there for a long time?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
good stuff.
He used a recipe from 1929.
Hello there.
Oh, hello, Famous Amos. How are you doing?
No, we had you here stopping
by. I didn't know either. Marissa Tomei is in the news. The Oscar winner tells the, sources tell the New York Post that she's working on a new movie where she had to play a stripper.
Yes.
Yes. And so to do some extra research, she had to go to a strip club.
Yes.
And work the pole a little bit. Yes. But apparently, sources on set saying she's acting like a germophobe. She was insisting that the staff disinfect the pole from top to bottom before she got on it.
Really?
What's with the pole?
I don't think that's germophobia. I think it's just common sense. If you've ever been to a strip club, you may not want to follow some of those girls onto the pole, especially with what they're rubbing up against it. Because you don't know where that's been.
Yeah. You do know where that's been.
That's the problem. Maybe you do know where that's been.
Lisa, when you debut LisaMay.net later this week, will there be photos of you on the pole or not?
I don't know.
Do you have photos of you?
I do. All right, then.
Well, then,
let's put them up.
If you don't know, who does know?
I have photos of me skinny dipping in Catalina.
Let's put them up.
I have photos.
Look, I think if it's called LisaMay.net, she should be wearing a lot of fishnets.
Good.
Only.
Like a whole fish theme.
Like a fishnet. Fishnet.
No, don't go there.
Bathing suit.
Do not.
Come on, let's just do it. What
insert your own joke here.
Seagulls circling your crotch.
Come on.
Scratch and sniff
she
section.
She said fish theme.
I know.
Fish theme.
That's not funny.
Fish theme, by the way. We have to go check. Hey, today's the day. Tonight's the night. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will induct its class of 2008 at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City.
Bean, you must be so excited.
I love that show. It's a terrific show.
It is pretty cool because, see, a lot of current stars induct their favorite older stars, and they always have this big jam at the end where everybody gets on stage and plays and stuff. And, of course, you know, it's especially hilarious this year because the Dave Clark Five's being inducted and their lead singer just died last week. Yeah.
It's a good time.
Anyway, the news is that Justin Timberlake will be inducting Madonna this evening, and usually the inductees perform a medley of their greatest hits to sort of celebrate their induction. However, Madonna has announced she will not be performing
at all.
Someone else will be stepping in to sing a medley of her hits. Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop will be singing a medley of Madonna songs.
Yes.
No.
Iggy Pop is going to sing like a virgin?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's weird.
That might be awesome.
Now it's worth watching, isn't it?
Wow.
Iggy Pop getting up there doing some Madonna hits.
By the way, as awesome as that is, what a slap in the face to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for Madonna to say, no, I don't think I'll perform.
I'm gonna tap out and bring in a sub. Let's
Come
see,
on.
Who could be more effed up to be doing my music? How about Iggy Pop? He's horrible.
You have to start in the ring to tap out, though, don't you?
I guess you do.
I mean, she's just sitting in the audience. Yeah.
I mean, Iggy's great. I don't mean to say he's horrible, but the kind of music that he does isn't really lending itself to Madonna's songs.
Yeah.
So.
That's unbelievable.
I like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now I'm interested.
Also inducted, John Mellencamp will be inducted this year. The Ventures, legendary surf guitar band from Southern California.
No.
No? They're not from Southern California?
Here. They're from Seattle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
and
they suck. Sorry I brought them up. More music news. Sure, Marcy fans already know this, but it's just been announced that he will release a greatest hit CD on March 25th. 25th of this month, he'll release his greatest hit CD, so you can pick that up. Apparently, it's already out in the UK, where it debuted last month at number 5. How can Marcy fans get any more material on Marcy than they already have? How can that be number 5 already?
Yeah.
But congratulations.
What a douche.
And Amy Winehouse is in the news.
Uh-oh.
How dare you.
According to the San Francisco Post-Chronicle, she has a new party trick.
Oh, yeah.
Newspaper says that she impressed friends like Kelly Osbourne and Mark Ronson last week. While out in the town in a bar with them, she started snorting vodka.
That's so hot.
Just stuck a straw in the glass and started snorting her up her nose.
That seems like that may be quite an effective alcohol delivery system.
Doctors actually warn that this can lead to death.
Really?
Yes, because the alcohol is absorbed directly into the bloodstream through the capillaries and the sinus membranes.
Right, so you can get
super loaded super fast, and it can cause blood alcohol poisoning.
That's hot.
Taking it into your stomach, where it has to be broken down and digested before it gets into your bloodstream. So we're looking at 2 to 3 weeks, I think, Amy Winehouse, before she dies.
Don't do that at all.
I wonder if she's took the straw and stuck it through the hole in her face that she created by burning it with a cigarette.
Well, sounds sexy.
And then that's how she could do it. And that would be entertaining.
That isn't good for you.
No,
come on. That'd be fun.
Nope.
Don't you think?
No.
And Heath Ledger's will has been opened and read. He left everything to his parents and his sister. Apparently, the actor did not change his will after he met and married Michelle Williams and had a daughter named Matilda. I guess at that age, you're just not thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know? So you don't get around
exactly.
That.
I imagine that's true, yeah.
But TMZ.com says that Heath's family has already released a statement saying they have absolutely every intention of taking care of Matilda and Michelle out of Heath's estate, so there's no need for anyone to be upset.
I was surprised to see, and I guess I shouldn't be, but I was surprised to see how little he owned. I mean, he had very little in terms of a portfolio. It's not like he's leaving behind $1 million or anything.
Well, it's not like he was ever a guy who was making the big budget blockbuster films. Of course, he's got Dark Knight. That's probably the first of that sort of film that he could have done if his career had gone longer. But he did mostly a lot of independent features. I mean, Brokeback Mountain, I know he practically did for scale. So
right. He probably saved up whatever little money he had to buy the house in New York, and that's probably where most of his money is.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Chuck Norris is 68 years old today.
Wow. I wish there were jokes about him on the internet.
Me too.
That'd be cool.
Things that he did were really cool.
Yeah.
Something special about his tears or stuff. That'd be cool. Someone would write a bunch of those.
And send them
to Bean at KRock.com.
I believe I've seen it, actually. Thank you.
I wonder what Huckabee's doing. I mean, think Huckabee's going to party with Norris for his birthday?
That's a good question.
He's going to hang out and just weep?
I don't think Huckabee parties.
You don't think so?
No.
Chuck Norris is 68 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone turns 50 years old today.
Bell, no bell.
No bell. You broke your bell for her.
I didn't touch it. I asked ahead of time. I think I did the right thing.
Jasmine Guy from A Different World. She's 46 years old today. Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam turns 45. Carrie Underwood, former American Idol, country music star, is 25 years old. Rapper-producer Timberland is 36. Edie Brickell is 42.
Yeah.
She's going to have to change her name to Edie Brickell and the Old Bohemians now, I think. And Shannon Tweed. You know Shannon Tweed.
Sure.
Former playmate and partner of Kiss frontman Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
Tolerant partner.
She is 51 years old today. Gene, you have any birthday wishes for Shannon, your longtime girlfriend?
I have a special surprise for her.
You do, Gene?
Today,
what's that?
I'm going to go have sex with an 18-year-old girl.
Oh, that's not a surprise.
Just for her.
That's
thoughtful.
Wow.
Be sure to video it and put it up on the internet.
That'd be a good idea for all of us. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Go to KRock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and click on Internet Roundup, and you can see some of the videos that we think are quite funny.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
You got to go there and watch the, quote, manualist, Jerry Phillips, who farts with his hands. Got to see that. The Tom Cruise Scientology interview is up there. Sarah Silverman's I'm Effing Matt Damon is up there. The Angry MySpace Kid is up there.
That's a great one.
Dodger Baseball Boogie.
Yeah, that's good times.
Janet Jackson attempting to teach Larry King to dance. There's a lot of weird stuff up there. Johnny Knoxville talking about the motorcycle hitting him in the junk.
5 minutes before, because no matter what you do, when you come off the ramp, do not let go of the motorcycle. Because
Why?
It's going to go 40 feet up in the air and come down and hit you.
And then it did.
Yep.
Hit him right in the junk.
You see that, yeah.
So that's up there. There's also, do you guys remember last week was No Cuss Week in South Pasadena? No cussing?
Hell yeah.
There's a rap video that was shot by a youngster. This kid was what, 14? Is that right?
The kid in the story, McKay Hatch, was 14, right?
Yeah. Okay, McKay Hatch is the guy who got this idea going. I'm not positive if this is him, but it is a kid in South Pasadena who's doing this rap about no cussing.
Is he on a unicycle?
He is not on a unicycle.
Then it's not him.
But he is, I think, very appropriately rapping with his back to us. I don't know why. He's not looking at the camera. But they are shooting it in South Pasadena because there's a South Pasadena police car goes by, fire goes by, and you recognize parts of South Pasadena. So it has to be him, right?
I would think so.
Unless it's just some kid who sees that it's a hot story and is trying to jump on and make something
could be.
Of it.
But he's not making fun of
that
it.
That could be.
He's sincerely rapping about not swearing, right?
Yeah. And it's not, well, it's not good. Here's a little clip of that. And if you want to find it at YouTube, it's NCC Club or something like that. And that's for No Cussing Club. Yes. Nice.
I was sitting in the schoolyard hanging with my crowd when some kids came walking by talking really foul. Every other word was burning up my ears, so I took a new stand and I challenged all my peers. If you want to hang with us, I don't want to hear you cuss. Don't cuss. I was sitting in the park talking to my friends when we heard adults cussing. Man, it never ends. I said, I know I'm just a kid, but I'll challenge you too. They said, kid, we're really sorry. Can we hang with you? If you wanna hang with us, I don't wanna hear you cuss. Don't cuss. Blankety blake, bleepity bleep. I don't wanna hear that speak. Bloopity bloop, yakety yak. Stop your cussing, clean your act.
Okay, that's that.
Okay.
That kid sure is talented.
I'll tell you, that kid does not like to hear cussing. That's one thing I know about him. K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Page, Internet Roundup. There's also some new links for our friend Jed the Fish. And we may have lost Jed.
What's Jed up to these days?
He may have jumped the shark. He's got many, many up on YouTube. This one's called Kick-Astitude. And it is a bizarre video of Jed looking at the camera with underwear on his head.
Huh.
And this is the entire video. You're hearing the whole thing. It starts like it's the end of a punchline. That's how he does it online.
So I walk in there, and I tell the manager, hey, look, how many people you get walking in here, like me, with underwear on their head? Not many, I'll bet.
That's it?
That's the whole thing.
That's his whole... That's...
What?
What's that about?
I don't know.
In his head.
I don't know, but he's got underwear on his head. He sure does. Right. He's got underwear. Now, here's another one called baby food. And you click on baby food. And he dumps some baby food into the toilet. I have to tell you this because it's important to what you hear.
Okay.
Takes a little plastic spoon. Eats the baby food out of the toilet.
Oh.
Why?
The baby
Why?
Food looks really gross.
Oh,
and I
no.
think that's what he finds funny about eating out of it. And listen to Jed. This is the audio. This is the commentary of the baby food in the toilet.
Hello. I'm Jed the Fish. This year, 3 million children...
Oh, shoot. It's backwards. This is the one about children, and it's some kind of Christmas message.
Oh.
And then we'll do the baby food in a okay. second. This is a Christmas message from Jed the Fish.
Hello, I'm Jed the Fish. This year, 3 million children... Shh. This year, 3 million... No. This year, 3 million children will die of starvation. Merry Christmas!
What is going on with him?
I don't know.
Kevin, oh my God!
What is he?
What?
What does he hold up as he says "Merry Christmas"?
Oh, that's right—a giant black dildo. I forgot about that part.
Well, that's important.
Totally forgot about the giant black dildo. And then finally, the baby food in the toilet.
Baby food. Oh no, no. Shh, shh, be quiet.
Jed.
What the heck is up with that?
We work with that guy.
Jed's
insane.
He's
got a job. They let him out with the public. They let him drive.
He's got all the rights you and I have.
What? He can vote. That guy right there, the guy eating baby food out of the toilet, can vote.
That's correct. And his vote counts as much as yours, B.
Oh, my
What the hell's going on?
God.
KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup. You must see to believe.
First, though, we got to deal with an old friend of ours who's back in the news.
Yeah, KFED, we found some pictures on Friday. We think they come from Us Weekly and TMZ, but KFED is fat, and that cracks us up because apparently he's been sitting on his ass for too long.
Yeah.
And he's playing golf. You could go to, again, you could go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean, go to sites this time, and it's labeled KFAT Ass, and click on it. And they have a before and an after. The before when he's in pretty good shape, and the after when he's playing golf and he's got a gigantic gut.
It's shocking how big it is.
He's fat KFED.
Well, we need to find out what the boy has been up to besides sitting on his couch watching the nanny take care of Britney's kids. So we have KFED on the line with us right now back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, booyah,
how's it going, KFED?
No, it's good, man. What's happening, doll?
Well, look, we saw some pictures on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've gained about 200 pounds.
That's a good estimate, dog. Yeah.
Look, all in your stomach. Are you eating right now? Because that makes it difficult for us to talk to you.
Hold on.
Can you swallow or something?
That's what she said. Hold on.
KFED?
That's so good, man, dog.
What are you eating?
What are you having?
Piglet.
Piglet? What is that?
A small pig.
An actual pig?
Yeah.
You're just gnawing on a piglet? It's not cooked or cut up or anything?
Got tired of making bacon, man. It took so long, so I just killed a piglet and just, it's good.
That doesn't sound good.
No chopping sauce.
Now, KFED, let's get the rumors out of the way first. This photo is for real. This isn't some celebrity punked type prank or something that you and your little friends are playing on the media to see who fall for it. You really have gained like 100 pounds since last time we saw you, right?
That's right, dog. I'm not ashamed to admit it. You know what I'm saying? It's part of my culture as a black man. You know what I'm saying? We love food. Okay, we celebrate it. We come from our roots all the way back in Africa to the South. You know what I'm saying? Collard greens, chicken. You know what I'm saying? Black eyed peas. You know
you're from Fresno. You're not from Africa.
You know what I'm saying? It's all about – I didn't choose my culture. I was born into it.
You were born into the white culture.
I'm all into my food, and I celebrate it. And my mom's, you know, when I go over to her house, you know, she's cooking it up. You know what I'm saying? Martin Luther King style. That's how I keep it. You know what I'm saying? No more drama. Vote for Obama, 08. That's all.
Okay. You're not black. Listen, KFED, this picture of you playing golf is shocking to me for two reasons. One is your huge gut, but two is you don't look like you've had any exercise the last few months. You look like you've just been sitting on your fat ass just doing nothing but eating.
I have. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been hitting the chronic pretty hard, you know, which is what I like to do. But frankly, you know what I'm saying? I got to take care of the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Brittany ain't around. So, you know, I'm kind of like stuck at home. You know what I'm saying? And like, when you're locked up, you know what I'm saying? You're kind of on the house arrest from the children. All you could do is eat. You know what I'm saying? It's like a Hot Pocket right there, a bagel over here.
Maybe
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe you should stop smoking so much until you can get a little exercise.
Oh, dog. You know what I'm saying? Smoke weed every day. That's how I live. There's nothing I can do about it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I just want to say, look, there's been a lot of rumors going around that these pictures are fake, that there's some kind of hoax or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Are they fake or are they real?
I want to say to my fan club, to the real fedophiles out there.
There's no fedophiles.
You know what I'm saying? All my real fans, you know what I'm saying?
You don't have real fans.
It's legit. I'm a little bit thicker.
A lot?
It's no big deal.
It is?
There's just more to me to love.
Your stomach is a big deal.
And that's how it is. Ladies, most ladies can appreciate more man, you know what I'm saying? I'm just more man.
You're right. Jelly. It's gross.
I didn't ask for your opinion, bitch.
You said women find it attractive.
I didn't say dumb, honky, white cracker bitches.
Oh,
okay?
I see.
I mean real bitches, sisters, Nubian and queen.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Touche, right. White bitch.
KFED, do you have any kind of – I mean, are you just living off the child support that's supposed to be going to the kids right now? Are you working at all? Do you do anything anymore?
I can answer that.
Times are tough right now, dog.
Times are tough because?
Because as an artist.
You're not an artist.
As a rapper.
You're not a rapper.
You know, my art, it imitates life. And I haven't been out on the thug scene as much because of the children.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to hit the streets, move weight, slang rocks, deal dirt. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I haven't been able to keep my flow of yayo on the streets as I've done since I was an infant, carrying rocks in my diaper.
You weren't carrying rocks in your diaper.
So as my life has taken a big switch, okay?
It's a
U-turn. And so it's been harder for me to rap.
Sure.
Because I got to keep it real.
Well, there's that, and there's also no one wants to hear you rap.
Well, I mean, that's a small factor.
Okay.
But I have been keeping in the studio whenever I can. Yep. And, you know, like I said, my art imitates my life.
Right.
So, you know, I've been writing a new song. I think I had the MP3 sent over to Lightning.
Oh, is that what this song is?
Okay. Yeah.
It's another song by you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about my life now, current state.
What's it called?
I don't know. I haven't titled it yet.
Okay.
You guys want to title it something? Think of something.
Fat K-Fed?
There it is. K-Fat.
I'm like Jennifer Hudson, not Kate. Don't underestimate the fact that I'm overweight. I'm fat, motherfucker, not with a PH. The kind with a pot belly, clearly made of jelly and dimples in his ass, bigger than Seal's face. In any case, I'm on a race to wreck all the Hostess Nabisco, butter and the Crisco, lighting up frying pans like floors on the disco. Kevin fed a line. Spell it F-A-T, like Oprah Winfrey with cornrows and goatee. Weight Watchers, don't need no Jenny Craig. Pass me the collard greens and that greasy chicken leg. Putting on weight at an accelerated rate. I'm watching Food Network every time I masturbate, cause I'm hungry, so hungry. I used to flow like butter, now I eat it. Find me any calorie restriction and I promise to exceed it. Any eating contest, I'll compete it, and then I'll beat it like I'm Kobayashi, filling the hibachi. What more can I say? I'm wrecking the buffet every single day. I don't play. I'm eating every calorie in my vicinity to make my baggy jeans fit rather tightly. Eat myself to death like my name was Mama Cass. Take that block of cheddar and insert it in my ass. My man boobs are real like Shaquille O'Neal. Chubby chasing bitches can smell my appeal. Gotta make that belly get bigger. I went to the drive-thru and got a super-sized wigger.
Wow.
He's fat.
Yeah,
he sure is fat.
Dog. All I'm saying is...
Not PH.
Just so hungry, you know? And it's like...
Right.
Every single day, I get hungrier.
Right.
And hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, though, starting not to feel so good.
Uh-oh. You all right, K-Fed?
You can't eat it. You can't eat it all at once, K-Fed.
It's tasty.
Yeah.
You're slowing down, dude.
Am I? Oh, this is a mess.
You okay?
Wigger.
The return of LaQuisha after 8 o'clock this morning. Plus, what's up with guys now having to go to baby showers? That is just wrong. And we will deal with that topic coming up in the next hour. First, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours per day, you call. It's an answering machine. Leave a message. We play it back on the air.
Kevin Bean. Lisa May, what'd the sign say outside the whorehouse? Closed. Beat it.
Oh, God.
See, because we have a K-Rock listener who literally falls to the ground every time she hears this word.
Moist. Moist, 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 moist.
She just ran off the road.
Strangest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
She really does. Literally.
She convulses.
Convulses. Yeah, it's the strangest thing. I'd like to thank all of the barbershop quartets for calling today.
Wow. Wow.
A lot of work.
Good use of talent right there.
A lot of work went into that one. People call from their cars all the time, and this guy has a response to No Cussing Week last week in South Pasadena.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you know, I was listening to the mayor of South Pasadena, and I originally called in to make fun of him and totally be stupid, but actually, the more I think about it, a non-cussing week really might help to build a new community standard. It might set the bar for cultural diversity.
Hey, get the f*** out of my way, you f***ing son of a bitch! If I see you, my lady, I'll kick you in your mother.
What was I saying?
Look, I give that guy props. We saw it coming, yet he still managed to pull it off and make it entertaining.
Yep.
It's the imp tiger with the scabs on your face. Cigarette burns will not help you. Amy Winehouse is a toothless crack whore, and she's got a bad case of imp tiger.
Yeah. Yeah. Lightning last week was telling us that the car wash guy that comes to K-Rock for $10 each Thursday and washes our car is ruining the car. Because he has the audacity to use hose water.
Yes.
Well, it's not ionized or has no ions or it's too ionized. I don't know what it is, but he did have some complaint with the quality of the water that goes in the car.
Hey, I'm a pool guy, and I know pools. And you know what? This friend of mine, he invited me over to his place for a pool party. And you know what was in his pool? Hose water. Can you believe that? You know what that does to your filter? Oh, my God.
Lightning, why can't I quit you?
He's pretty spectacular at times.
But it was funny how upset he was by
it. Oh, yeah. Very upset. He was.
Because you would say, well, my car's clean when I drive out. And he'd be like, that's not the point. Like, how is that not the point of getting a car wash?
Seems like the point to me. I don't know. I didn't understand that.
Hey, Kevin. I got some exclusive audio for your early days. Here's the clip.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want to double cross.
Okay. See, because I always try to work in that clip from Omar's Cucamonga Heat.
Yes.
Mr. Khan. Double cross is going to happen. Cucamonga Heat. Mr. Khan spooks outside my window. Mr. Khan spooks in the tree. I wish that Eric could see that he'll get paid. Yeah, he'll get paid plenty. It's Mr. Khan spooks outside my window. Pay. That's something for me. Everything's going to be okay, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. Double cross. They done did me some bad drug deal. Cucamonga Heat. Yeah, because it's Mr. Khan spooks outside my window pane. Omar's a
Yeah, that is true.
Well done. Yay! Well done. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I want to give you a quick announcement of hello. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's a new bit. It's hard to figure out all the bells
Thank
and
you.
Whistles.
Thanks for understanding.
There we go. We good now?
Yeah.
How about a little music?
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you wanted to stop it so you can
No,
make
I'm
it.
Doing a little announcement, a showbiz announcement before I get into the news.
My bad.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with a movie that predates Spinal Tap in terms of the mockumentary, but it was made by Eric Idle of the Monty Python Gang. It's one of my favorite films of all time. It's about a fictional musical group called the Ruddles.
I don't know anything about
it. It's
this.
A takeoff on the Beatles. It's pretty much the Beatles story, but they completely change the identity of the band, and they make up stories about this band.
Okay.
And it's hilarious. Anyway, they are getting back together again to celebrate the 30th anniversary of this movie that was called, back in the day, it was called All You Need Is Cash, was the name of the film. And if you'd like to go, they are selling tickets available to the Ruddlemania, it's called, the semi-spectacular tribute concert starring the Prefab Four. Dirk, Nasty, Stig, and Barry, the semi-legendary Ruddles, will be back together again.
Wow.
A legend that will last a lunchtime, as they say. Eric Idle said, finally, nostalgia for things that never existed. So if you'd like to see the tribute concert, it's going to be at the one of our favorite venues in all of Southern California, the Ricardo Montalban Theater.
On Vine Street.
On Vine Street.
Yeah.
What are the seats made of?
Rich Corinthian leather. The dates are March 15th, 16th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. If you'd like tickets, you can go to ticketweb.com and type in Ruddlemania, and you can check out Eric Idle and the rest of the gang responsible for putting this very funny movie together. And if you've ever seen the movie, Netflix it or something, it's called All You Need Is Cash, and it is very funny, especially if you're a Beatles fan or a Monty Python fan, because it is... It's very, very Monty Python-esque.
What if you hate the Beatles? Would that be good, too?
Yeah, because they really make fun of the Beatles, mostly. Right. This band got its... the Ruddles get their start in one of these dark cellars in Liverpool, you know, where the Beatles supposedly started. But they get it because their manager was gay and he liked their tight trousers. That's the reason he started representing them. So it's a very funny
I hope story. They do Cheese and Onions. That's my song.
Oh, that's the best. Today's celebrity birthdays. No,
wow,
I'm just kidding.
Quick.
Today strikes the 30th anniversary of Whitesnake. Are we excited? Whitesnake celebrating their 30th anniversary.
I haven't heard that band name in quite some time.
Yeah. The only guy trying to get everybody excited about this is David Coverdale, the lead singer of Whitesnake, and the only original member of the band left in the band. They still exist, by the way,
they
Whitesnake.
They do?
Yeah.
For what? Playing casinos and stuff?
Yes, that
well,
kind of stuff.
He probably owns the name. He can do whatever he wants with it, I bet.
He's trying to get everyone stoked about the 30th anniversary of Whitesnake.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants you all to buy the new box set.
Not so much.
And the new album called Good to Be Bad.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, then you're spectacular, David Copperfield.
Amy Winehouse also in the news. Apparently, the San Francisco Post-Chronicle is saying she is impressing friends these days with a new party trick. She was out in the town last week with Kelly Osbourne and Mark Ronson, and she really showed her stuff by snorting vodka.
Oh.
Omar does that.
Apparently, she sticks a straw right in the shot glass and just...
Seems painful.
She drinks your milkshake.
What the hell is that? That's not sexy.
It's vodka. Doctors warn, by the way, that this can lead to death because the alcohol is absorbed directly into the bloodstream through the nasal passages, and they do not recommend you emulate Ms. Winehouse. In this particular case.
Yeah, dude. All right, Steve-O, easy.
In this particular case, don't. Usually, whatever she does, they recommend that you do.
Put the cigarette out of the face?
Do it.
Do it, okay.
Yeah. Impetigo, get it.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Losing teeth because you're a crack whore?
Do that.
Do it.
Okay.
But don't do the snorting of the vodka.
Yeah, dude. We talked about this on Friday, but Amy Winehouse is only 24. So look at her as you start to think about maybe following in her footsteps.
King of Mexico wrote up, I've done that. It hurts.
Well, sure, it stings. It'll sting your sinus membranes.
I love it.
It's not meant to go there. It's probably one of the reasons
what?
It hurts.
It's not meant to go there?
Vodka not meant to go up your nose.
That isn't good for you.
It isn't indeed. Heath Ledger's will has been read, and apparently he left everything to his parents and his sister.
Wife and kid?
Not so much, fact is the will was written back in 2003 and was drawn up in Australia. This precedes his relationship with Michelle Williams and also the birth of their daughter Matilda, so obviously he would have changed his will, I'm sure, if he thought he was going to be passing away this young.
Yeah.
TMZ.com says that the Heath family has already said that they're going to take care of Matilda and Michelle, and that's how Heath would want it, and that's how they're going to do it. Their family seems to have been really classy about this whole thing, top to bottom. So it's like there will be no battle over his estate, which really isn't all that much. But
yeah,
I don't know much about how wills work, but I always just assume. I mean, he had a will, so I guess that's why there would be some question. But if I were to die today without a will, wouldn't my wife be my legal succeeding heir? If I had not written anything up specifically directing my belongings in someone's direction?
The only thing is, if you don't have a will, it probably happens, but it has to go to probate court. Mm-hmm. And then the city and the state and the feds get their cut of it first.
And wipe it all out.
And then it gets whittled down, and then whatever's left over goes to your next of kin. Yeah, but
gotcha. Who would want Bean's crap, though?
That's true.
He's got a painting. Who's the serial
John
killer?
Wayne Gacy
John
painting
Wayne Gacy painting of the clown that he dressed up to lure children to him. He has a painting of that.
I'd take that.
There is going
to
be a big battle over
you,
the bubonic plague rat death ship painting that they're trying to give away. Jeez, who gets the giant clown head? Oh, Bean's family fighting over the clown head.
Yeah, dude. I'm just suggesting that I should think about it because, you know, my wife might like to have a house to live in the event that I pass away. That's all I'm saying.
She'll move in with her boyfriend, which she's been planning to do for some time anyway. She just wants the cash. Just make sure you liquidate before you die.
I'll make a note of it.
That sounds... ugly.
Yeah. You can liquidate after you die, I suppose. And, you know, everyone's talking about the fact that the Beatles weren't available on iTunes, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't download any Beatles stuff.
Yeah.
As you know, the deal has been made. But I had no idea the financial arrangement had been made with Paul McCartney and Apple.
I don't know anything about it.
The deal is done. You're going to be able to download the Beatles tunes on iTunes any day now.
Thank God, because Beatle fans have been dying for that.
Yeah, because you can't find
those
Beatles
songs.
Because
they don't have all the CDs.
Where's that back catalog? Sir Paul finally came to a deal with Apple, as did the remaining family members of the other Beatles. But here's what Paul's cut is. His deal is worth $400 million.
What? Guaranteed?
Jackpot.
Yes.
Thank God, because he was just about to run out.
I know. Finally, he got some cash now.
Will Heather get some of that, by the way?
I hope not.
I hope not.
$400 million?
Yeah.
Guaranteed?
It's a $400 million deal with Apple's iTunes store for the digital distribution of the Beatles' back catalog.
Now, does he still get paid when people then go and buy Beatles songs? Or is that him saying, you make whatever you want off the Beatles, you have my share?
I don't know what the terms are in terms of residuals, but
that's
what the deal's worth to him.
Wow. The guy's got to put food on the table, you know?
It's true.
He does.
That's true. Just a squirrel looking for a nut.
And by the way, this week or next, I guess, Ralph, is when the American Idol gets a hold of the Beatles, too.
Oh.
And you can't imagine that Paul McCartney let that go pretty cheap, either.
No.
That's going to be a great, great night, you a-holes.
Here's the thing
American
about Beatles
Idol
songs.
Beatles.
Love them or hate the Beatles. Really, the Beatles are the only ones who can do real justice to the Beatles' music. Almost everyone else who tries to sing a Beatles song pretty much pales in comparison.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a good week.
You think?
There have been a handful of covers over the years, but just a handful of people who have managed to do something better or different with a Beatles song. But you're absolutely right.
It's very specific to that band, to that time period and everything. You know, you really can't take it out of its element.
No, that's going to be a good night. It's going to be good.
And it looks like Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie's careers may be on the upswing.
Oh,
sources tell OK Magazine that the two are in talks to star on Broadway together in Chicago.
No.
Yes. What? Lisa's outraged.
Oh.
Paris Hilton and
me?
Nicole Richie co-starring in Chicago on Broadway.
Don't you kind of have to sing to be in
Paris
a musical?
Sings.
Not
are
in Chicago.
Kidding?
They'll put anybody in that goddamn show. Tony Danza was just starring on Broadway in that show.
He can kind of sing, though.
Yeah, just play. You know what it is? Broadway now is about selling seats. And the word is that their star power would amount to big bucks and perhaps double ticket sales for the musical.
Lisa, you don't remember this.
Even though the gods are crazy, even though the stars are blind, if you show me real love, baby, I'll show you mine.
Yeah.
Actually, I did.
That on Broadway. See, here is Roxy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
This is a little thin, maybe, to project from a Broadway stage.
And you said star power, didn't you?
Yes.
What the hell is that? That's not sexy.
Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie are Chicago.
At least I can avoid all three at the same time. That's good news.
Chicago's a good show. Did you see the movie? Did you see the movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Renee Zellweger?
I don't think
they
I did.
They sang in it, Kevin.
Richard Gere?
I don't think so.
Very successful.
I may have.
I purged it if I did.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chuck Norris is 68 years old today. Kevin was saying he hadn't heard all the Chuck Norris jokes
on
the internet.
Bean.
So if you could send him to
that was Bean
Kevin
at krock.com.
We'd appreciate it.
Ralph at krock.com.
Sharon Stone turns 50 years old today. Shannon Tweed, longtime girlfriend of Gene Simmons, is 51. It's a pretty spectacular 51, by the way, Shannon.
Yeah.
Jasmine Guy, who was on A Different World, and Cosby, of course, 46 years old today. Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam turns 45. And Carrie Underwood, former American Idol winner and now a big, big country superstar, which just goes to show you almost anybody can be a hit in country music. She is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Had a hell of a weekend. I went to the Los Angeles Kings game on Saturday. And then last night, my wife...
How much they lose by Saturday?
How dare you? Three.
I was just assuming. Three.
Okay. And last night for our anniversary, my wife took me to the Laker game.
Oh, that's cool.
Fantastic. That's a great weekend. Dave, Mike, what happened on your weekend?
Let's see. I went to dinner. That was fun.
Dave, the King of Mexico. What else?
And I got drunk a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
And then I went to a baby shower.
Mike?
I watched, I was on the air here at K-Rock. Then I watched The History of the Hammer.
Okay, good.
Modern Marvels, and then use of the occult in Nazi culture.
Right. And then what did you go to? You went to
a baby. Then I went to a baby shower.
Wait, hold on a sec. You went to a baby shower, and Dave went to a baby shower? Both of you went to baby showers this weekend?
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you go to the same baby shower?
Yeah. The same one, yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys, you're guys.
Yeah.
Are you pre-op transsexuals?
Apparently the new trend is co-ed baby showers, like
since
guys and
when?
Listen, the last year or two, I don't know.
I would say, 5 years is a good estimate. It's just something that just came on like gangbusters, and it's been traditionally a female-only thing for as long
forever,
as long as I've ever known. In American culture, it seems to have shown that's the way it's been, you know, since at least in our country. And I don't know what it is, but I've had to go to three just in this last year.
Three baby showers,
and it's only the thing is that it's.
It's one a month.
Right. A month.
A month.
And that it it seems like that's just it's accepted. That's the way it is now. It's a dual gender deal.
Let me interrupt, Michael. When you say I had to go to three, meaning you could not say no? You had no option to say I'm not going to go. I have a penis.
I guess. I mean, I have the option.
But
not
he
to
doesn't
pay.
Have a penis.
I have the option not to pay my taxes. But I mean, I my wife's putting the gun to the head. You go.
It's Dave, easy. Your wife putting the gun. Oh wait, you don't have a wife.
No, you know, I've been to two this past year, and
two.
Yeah, and they were fine. I'm not going to sit here and bash them. They were okay. They were fun.
What did they do?
And I had a fine time yesterday.
Yeah,
great. I don't think Dave and I are sitting here knocking what goes on there. I just don't understand how it just all of a sudden became accepted. That's the way it is.
Well,
it just
transformed. It is a couple's baby.
Yeah, but it's never been.
You're probably friends only with women, the guy, too, right?
I am friends with the guy.
And he's excited about the baby, too.
Didn't he already do his job? He's done.
That's the right. old thinking, Mike. Turns out there's more to do than just impregnating.
But let me ask you this, and this is why I think in my mind, and I've never been to a baby shower.
Really?
Okay?
You've never
the guy
been to
who
a
hates
party.
Kids?
I don't, but I've never been to a baby shower because I'm a guy. But here's my impression of what baby showers are like, is that girls open up cute little onesies and go, oh, look how cute that is. And that's not what the guy's interest in the baby is. The guy doesn't care about the cute little silver rattle and the cute little onesie outfit that he wears, the cute little hat. Those are chick things. Those are the things that the new mothers get excited about, is the stuff that goes with the baby. Since when do the guys care about any of that?
That doesn't happen anymore, dude. Now it's, you know, just let's get drunk and eat some good food and hang out. That's all it is.
I got to tell you, I've been to baby showers and I hate them. The ones that are just women. They're awful. They play terrible games and then they do exactly what Bean described, which is, oh, that's so cute.
That's what
I
happened.
I despise them. Yeah.
So women started hating them and then decided, well, let's bring the guys in. Guys came in
and said, let's party.
Yeah. Let's drink.
Then I'm in.
Just like at this baby shower we went to, they tried to put up bibs and stuff for her. She said, nope, take them down. Let's just, you know, enjoy the day.
It's just a good party.
Well, I don't get it, but we are going to take your calls, and the phones are ringing off the hook at 1-800-520-1067. Let's take Steven real quick in Fullerton. He's online, too. He has a theory about the new co-ed baby showers. Hi, Steve. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
Good.
I'm actually 20 years old, and I'm having a baby shower here pretty soon, and we decided to make it co-ed. Have margarita machines and kegs, just so everybody has a good time, and we get more, basically more gifts because we're so young. We don't have enough money to buy everything we need.
But you don't get two gifts if a guy and a girl come.
Exactly. It's not like we doubled up. Jenny and I just brought one gift for the couple.
That's what I believe, too, because, you know, me who's single, come in by myself, I'm bringing a gift as well.
Yeah, you wouldn't have.
Oh.
Yeah,
so, you
know, and I'm thinking, like, all my friends who are single and stuff, if I had a baby shower, but, you know, they would all come single and bringing gifts and, you know, girls would bring gifts and.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, this guy's having a baby.
And we're X-naying all the games. No games, because none of those girls like the games anymore. They're all crap.
Right, so pretty much what you're saying has happened, Lisa and caller guy, is that it sucked really badly when it was only women. So women collectively as a whole decided, we need to introduce some men into this to make it fun and tolerable.
Exactly. I'm okay with that. Yes, that's what
happened. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, now, Steven, I just want to hear you admit that you know all of your friends do not want to come to your baby shower.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Nobody wants to come.
Why would you do that then?
Well, such an
obligation. But now that we're going to have kegs and margaritas, though, it entices them to come a little bit.
Makes it better, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, I wish you'd have put a little more pre-thought into planning your family as you did into planning this party.
Let's go to Aaron.
You're going to be having a kid at 20.
Aaron in Upland. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Aaron.
How you doing?
Good.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi. What do you think?
What do I think? I think Mike's a big vagina.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm Psycho Mike. I'm so tough. I'm a big tough guy. No, you're a vagina. That's what's wrong with America these days, and that's why China's laughing at us right now.
Come on, tell it. Tell it.
Because I had to go to a baby shower?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Aaron.
Just because booze is introduced doesn't make it any more right.
I don't drink. It had nothing to do with it. I went because I'm friends with the people, and my wife asked me nicely to go, and that was the end of it.
That's a real nice thing. But the problem, what you're supposed to do that day is go out with your buddies, go to a strip bar, get drunk. That's the whole point
of
it.
And if you don't, what are you?
A big vagina.
All right.
A big vagina.
I didn't throw the party. I didn't choose not to have it at the Spearman
Rye. But, Mike, I got to agree with Aaron here. When you get the invitation, when they say, hey, come, guy, come to our baby shower, you say, have fun with that. That's the appropriate response is, please enjoy.
Or I'll send a gift.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dave, I'll mail a gift.
Send a gift, that's fine, but you'd have no business setting foot in that door.
I guess I should have taken a stand. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Aaron, ordinarily we would hang up, but hang on. I'm going to find some Afrocentric porn for you for the excellent call. Don't go away.
All right.
Take some more calls.
Kevin and Bean in the studio sitting around with three girlfriends, Mike, Dave, and Lisa, talking about going to baby showers over the weekend. What the hell? We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've just joined us, Psycho Mike says it's only been in the last 3, 4, 5 years or something that it seems to be that these baby showers have become co-ed. And apparently Kevin and I have missed the change, but we still say no.
Let's start with Audrey in Whittier. Good morning, Audrey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
basically, my husband and his friend got together and they had a diaper party. So that worked out pretty good. All the guys ended up at our house, and they played beer games and video games and got drunk, and all the guys that showed up had to bring diapers to the party.
Oh.
So that worked out a lot better because diapers are so expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought they wore them.
I did, too.
Yeah,
I thought they all came in diapers and then just
fit. And the first person to use it wins.
It's awesome.
First person to use it wins.
No, they all showed up, and they all had to bring diapers, which is pretty funny because they didn't know what the hell to buy. And
sure.
And they all sat around and got wasted and played beer pong and video games, and none of the girls were allowed, and it worked out pretty good. So
half those guys brought depends, you know it. Half those guys brought adult diapers.
Yeah, they didn't know.
That sounds like a party.
To me like that has the makings of a great party, except it shouldn't be a baby shower. That's the only thing we're saying. If they want to get together and have diaper parties, that's fine. But keep it away from baby showers, which are for chicks, okay?
They're really for kids, but it's a chick thing. No guy wants to go to that, seriously. Let's go to Dominic in Temecula. Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning. How are you doing, Lisa May?
Good, Dominic.
My wife decided to have a most wonderful co-ed baby shower.
Yes.
And we invited about, 10 of my guy friends. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them found a wonderful way to back out of it and left me being the only guy at the baby shower.
You know why?
Good
balls.
For them.
They have balls.
That's right. And you shouldn't have been there either,
you
by
know?
The way.
Poor
yeah,
Dominic.
Yeah, trust me. If I could have gotten out of it myself, I would have.
Dude, you start throwing up. You just got to take something and start throwing up. That's the key.
Hey, why can't you keep your woman in line, by the way? What's up with that? She says, I'm having a co-ed baby shower. You say, where are you having it? Not here.
Yeah, it was at her parents' house. But I don't know. Your balls just kind of go away when your wife's pregnant because, well.
Because she's going through a lot. And you're trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know that punishing the guy is helpful either.
I bet his was traditional, and that's why none of his friends showed up.
What kind of party did you have? Was it the old stupid game party?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See? That's why.
Oh, Dominic.
Well, deservingly, they bailed.
You're gay.
Luckily, I was able to get some alcohol in there, and myself, I got pretty wasted. So
excellent.
It made it a little bit better.
Sure, your wife was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like rituals around marriage and babies, having babies and stuff like that, that are just traditional and stuff. And I think this is one of them that's just going to fall by the wayside altogether. The idea of the original kind of, you know, baby name, everybody wear bibs and bring different stuff and play the traditional kind of female-oriented games. I just think it's something that's dissolved away to nothing.
You know what's funny, though, is how long women put up with that. Because none of them liked it. I mean,
no one
ever liked to go to a baby shower. None of them.
It was just an obligation.
And then they would get pregnant and they would make all the girls play the same stupid games.
Maybe it's revenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, no one liked that.
All
I don't
right,
know how it ever became a big deal, but let's go to John in Los Angeles. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hi, John.
Yeah, this thing about the co-ed thing is not new. It's been like that for years with the Mexicans.
Really?
Oh, the Mexicans have had co-ed for a long time?
Oh, yeah.
We were thinking 4 or 5 years is about.
I don't think so.
You got it, cool.
Oh, you don't know Dave.
You're not Mexican.
Yeah, but Dave himself going stag alone, that's just gay. If you're married, you're obligated to go with your wife because the man just goes there and plays stupid games and drink and play poker.
Okay.
While the women do their thing. But
if you're single,
that's wrong.
If you're not being forced by anyone to go.
No, Dave's just gay.
All right. That's a good ruling.
We discovered something.
Thank you, John, for the call. Let's see here. Let's go to Trisha in Santa Ana. Good morning, Trisha. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Trisha.
You got a co-ed baby shower?
Yeah, my husband and I decided to do one, and because we had so many people we were inviting, we decided to have it at a park, and we got shut down.
Shut down at a park?
At a park, because we had a bunch of alcohol, and the park rangers came over and caught us, and we had to pour all of it out.
Oh, no.
We decided to we had a huge barbecue. We have a bunch of drinkers as friends, and I think we poured out over 90 beers.
Oh, that's painful.
Yeah, it was. I have pictures. It's awesome.
Were you guys crying?
No,
please don't make us pour this.
I was laughing because I was the only sober one.
Exactly. That's got to be really tough.
All right, Trisha, thank you for the call. That's,
Trisha,
awesome.
Did you do your part by making the breast milk cosmopolitans? Those are the bomb.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
I never had any of those.
Oh.
Tara and Irvine, good morning.
Hi.
Hi there.
Kevin, Bean. Hey, Luscious Lisa.
Hello, Tara.
Tell us about your baby shower.
9 years ago, I had a co-ed baby shower. My husband and I had many, many friends, so we decided to invite everybody, and no games at all. We had had it at a friend's house that had a pool table and vintage arcade games and slot machines. And
okay, that
everybody
works.
Had a blast. Well, everybody except me drank, and
right.
Two couples hooked up, and one of them got married and are still married today.
Two couples hooked up at your baby shower?
At the baby shower, as a result of the baby shower, and one of them got married.
Wow.
You know a lot of lesbian couples then. How about our old friend LaQuisha back on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show? Good morning, girlfriend.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
How are you?
I'm in love.
Really?
I'm in love with That's Amore.
That's your new favorite show, huh?
The greatest show on television.
Yeah.
Now, LaQuisha, a lot of people don't pay attention to the reality TV as much as you do, and all the shows tend to blur together. This one is on MTV, and it's sort of a spinoff of the Tila Tequila Shot at Love. Do I have that right?
It's more than a spinoff. It's sort of an exact replica of that show, except instead of a bisexual whore, they take a stupid, lovable Italian guy and plug him in.
Excellent.
But everything else is the same, because there's no bisexual women and guys on it. It's just straight women trying to get his heart. But everything else is exactly the same. And this is the second episode. They let 5 girls go last week. There's 10 girls left on the show now, all vying for the heart of little Domenico, the little Italian kid. And there's 5 brunettes and 5 blondes left on the show. And the blondes and the brunettes are not getting along. You know how it is when you put blondes and brunettes together.
It's like East Coast, West Coast.
It's like cats and dogs. They just fight tooth and nail. And Kim, who I understand you guys talked to last week.
We
Kim,
did, yeah.
She's a whore. And she's a bitch, too.
Yeah.
And she starts talking crap about the brunettes.
The brunettes hate us. And the blondes, we don't like the brunettes either.
Someone's going to get a punch in the face.
It's like war. And you know what? We're hotter, so we're going to win.
Wow, it is just like war.
Oh, my God. Because
that's how war works.
It does. Whoever's hotter.
I remember World War II. We sent all the best-looking people we had to fight the Nazis.
And they had to quit.
Sure.
And they had to lose because we are so hot. Well, it's time for the first competition. And I'm telling you, if I was an Italian-American, I would be writing a strongly worded letter to MTV about this show. They pull out every stereotype and cliche they can think of to do on this show about Italians because Domenico's from Italy.
Sure.
Last week's competition where the girls had to swim in spaghetti and meatballs and carry meatballs in their mouth back into a bowl.
By the way, when you start with that, you're out.
This week, and by the way, every time the challenges show up, they come, someone rings the door and hands them a pizza box, and the challenge is inside the pizza box.
How do they do it?
Well, this week's competition is the girls have to make pizzas on top of their heads.
What?
They got a helmet with a big...
What are you talking about?
It's a helmet with a big tray on top of it.
No.
And you got to put the pizza crust on top of your head and make the pizza on your head.
That's long Come been on. Accepted the way to win someone's heart.
Then you got to get on a bicycle.
No, you don't.
No.
You're making this up.
Are you punking us right now, LaQuisha? That was
I
not on TV.
God, you got to get on a bicycle keeping the pizza balanced on your head.
No.
And then drive it to a front door and ring the bell. And that's how you complete the competition. So it's blondes, 5 blondes versus the 5 brunettes on the pizza head competition.
Okay.
And I tell you, the girls were very excited about their uniforms.
We had to make the pizza on top of our heads with these, like, crazy helmets with, like, a pizza pan on top. We had, like, elbow pads and knee pads.
Yay, knee pads!
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's the first time they use knee pads, I tell you that much. Well, the brunettes win the competition. They get to go on a special group date with Domenico.
Oh, good times.
So the blondes are left behind. And since the blondes don't have any brunettes to attack, they start to eat their own.
Uh-oh.
And there's a girl named Rebecca, one of the blondes, and all the girls just start picking on her like it's Carrie on prom night. They start throwing condoms filled with water at her.
Good.
And they're spraying all kinds of stuff in her hair and tying tampons in her hair.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I've never heard of a worse show in all my life.
It's just brutal to this girl. She just break down and cry.
You know, it went from us all joking around to them just being, like, downright mean to me.
I forgot to mention they took out her vocal cords. They ripped out her larynx during the picking on. Well, Kim, the leader of the bitches, she thinks that Rebecca's overreacting to their abuse.
You know what? I'm sorry that you're fucking crying, but get the fuck over it. Like, she just needs to go home.
Right.
That's right.
Wow.
Get the F over
sensitive.
It.
Anybody who bothers Kim, they just gotta go. Well, meanwhile, it's time for the next challenge. I'm going to tell you what that is in a minute.
Okay.
But Kim is worried about the challenges. Her and her little, her group of nasty little blonde girlfriends, they're a little worried.
I actually am a little nervous right now. Because you would think that me, Taylor, and Missy would have this all wrapped together. Because we are the hottest girls here. But we can't win these challenges.
Is anybody more hateable than this girl, Kim?
No.
I don't know if, of course, you've seen her on the show, but I've only seen her picture online, and she looks pretty rough for her age. I mean, she is not aging very well, and she sure thinks she's hot.
She sure is, and she sure isn't. That's for sure.
Right.
Now, the next challenge is all the girls have to be spray-painted white, and they got to stand on a pedestal on one leg like a statue holding some grapes.
You're so making this up.
Because there's a lot of statues in Italy. See?
Sure.
See the tie-in? Luckily, Domenico has Ashley, the redneck racist cowboy, as his sidekick.
Sure.
To explain the rules to the girls.
Ladies, once you begin, you cannot step off your pedestal. Once you fall off your pedestal, you will be disqualified.
You will be disqualified. Which I guess is the Italian pronunciation of disqualified. Well, sadly, the black girl, who I don't like seeing her all sprayed white, first and foremost, I'll tell you that much. I didn't care for that moment in the show. Painting her all down, putting a white face on her. Mm-hmm. That makes her more acceptable to modern America, I guess.
Is that it? Yeah.
She passes out while she's doing this because she's not feeling so well.
Oh, good.
She goes to the hospital. And Rebecca, the girl that got abused, she's the one who wins the challenge. So she gets a special date. And while she's out on a date with Domenico, the brunettes start to stand up for poor Rebecca, the girl who got tampons tied in her hair and whatnot. And it's a big cat fight upstairs.
Yes.
Why did you guys with Rebecca? We did not with Rebecca.
You big lying bitch.
Seriously.
You made the idiot out of her. And laughed and let her.
No, that is not what happened. No, you weren't there. How would you know?
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth, bitch.
Oh, dear Lord.
Wow.
How could you spend 5 minutes with any of these delicate young flowers?
Oh, they're all quality.
Oh, my goodness. Ashley's now, Domenico, he's got to pick two of them now to go home on this episode.
Okay.
But Ashley, the redneck cowboy, he is there to help him out, narrow down who should go home. And he's given lots of helpful advice to Domenico as they go through the girls, especially on Christina, one of the brunettes.
There we go, Christina.
What's good about Christina is she'll probably wipe your butt when you get old and can't move and you're crippled.
That is what you're looking for in a woman,
what
I think.
The hell?
I wonder if she'll wipe my ass. That's what you got to ask yourself.
I don't think you start thinking about that till you're 75, do you?
It doesn't hurt to plan ahead, Kevin. You got to think of to get your retirement fund in order and wonder who's going to wipe my ass when the time comes.
Wow.
Well, the show comes to a conclusion, and he's got to let two women go. And the first woman he lets go, naturally, is the black girl, Love. Love got to go.
Yeah.
You know why? Because she's black.
No, I don't think so. She's white now.
There's no room for her in the lily-white world of That's Amore. And he says goodbye to Love, and Love is pretty upset.
It hurts too much. I can't take this right now. Bob needs love, too.
Love needs love, too.
Is that what she said?
That's what she said.
Wow.
Love needs love, too.
Aren't you doing any of these people a favor by getting off this reality show, though?
But she needs love.
I hear that.
And she don't think it's fair that she was the first one asked to go.
Right.
And I think she got a point.
Now, what kind of fairness is that? But life's not fair, right? Whatever, dude. I love Domenico.
She loves Domenico. After 4 days of making pizzas on her head and swimming in spaghetti and meatballs, she's very deeply in love with Domenico.
Is there anyone likable on this show?
No.
Not a one. Okay.
The second girl to go is Jessica. And Jessica's the last girl at the end of the ceremony who's not given an Italian flag, by the way. That's how you know you're staying. He'd give you a flag.
Wow.
and she doesn't get a flag, and she just cannot understand why.
Why?
I enjoy talking to you. And I was looking inside to try to find that connection. And unfortunately, I couldn't find it.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. Well, if I knew, all right, here's a flag then.
Okay, then.
I didn't know I was wrong when I said I didn't love you.
You're wrong.
Jessica, as she's leaving, well, I'm a concern for her well-being.
Uh-oh.
I think someone maybe needs to keep an eye on Jessica tonight at home.
Uh-oh.
I feel like I don't know if I'll meet another guy like Domenico. I've given up. It's just the same old again, and I'm sick of it.
She's giving up on finding love on television in spaghetti and meatballs, making a pizza on her head, standing like a statue.
Wait a minute. It's the same old thing? She's done
same
this before?
Old thing. How many times can you stand on a pedestal painted white, holding grapes, Kevin, and not get love?
Wow.
How many times can you make a pizza on your head and ride a bicycle and not come home with the man?
These people are unbelievable.
I think they're all crazy.
Yeah, you think.
And that makes for some good television.
All right, LaQuisha, thank you.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Make a lunch escape to Islands for $6.95 lunch specials. Tasty food at a tasty price, Monday through Friday till 4 p.m. at Islands. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's 3 till 9, time for the Ralph Showbiz.
Don't thank her.
Don't thank her for
Don't
that?
Don't thank her when she gives us
it's
the
lunch
island
escape.
Lunch escape.
It is a lunch escape, that's true.
It's not an escape.
It isn't.
No.
Okay.
Tasty food at a tasty price, though.
That's
true.
It is. And you don't have to carry it on your head on a bike.
Sadly, that also is true.
Let's take a look at the top 10 moves at the box office this weekend as we kick off the Showbiz Beat. 10,000 BC is a monster hit with $35.7 million made over the weekend.
My goodness.
It's pretty huge.
I don't get it. Kevin's people.
Yeah.
Kevin's people looked down and said, Sabretooth Tiger, I gotta go.
I didn't go, but it looked cool.
Oh, Kevin.
When I saw the trailer, and I've seen it in front of a couple of movies, the audience laughed at it, Ralph.
Yes, as well they should have.
Yeah, and yet still $35 million worth of tickets were sold for people who actually paid real money to go see it in person with their own eyes.
People who weren't going to see that were going to see College Road Trip, which made $14 million in its debut, made it number two at the box office. This is what we're dealing with, people. Vantage Point was number three.
I guess the only conclusion we can come to is that people enjoy the movie going experience and they have a plan. Hey, let's go to the movies Friday night, and it doesn't matter what's showing. It's just we want to go out and hang out and have popcorn and sit in a room and watch stuff move.
Well,
right?
Watch stuff move.
Well, if that's the case, how come Semi Pro only made $5.8 million? More importantly, how did The Bank Job, a movie I saw over the weekend and loved? It's brilliantly written, well acted, well directed. Keeps you on the edge of your seat, involved, fascinated, all the way to the end of the movie. You're cheering at the end of the film. People are actually applauding and cheering at the end of this movie. It was number five, only made $5.7 million this
weekend. Got all those English people.
I gotta tell you, but it's funny and clever and smart and well written and well acted and well.
I know what they're saying.
Well shot. It's just a quality film up and down. Just
I gotta tell you,
great,
though.
Great movie.
Seeing the commercial, I thought it looked good, but I didn't think it looked that good. Like, it sounds like it outperformed the trailer even.
But,
it was much better than the trailer.
But even the trailer was like, oh, this is a cool sort of heist movie where these guys knock off a bank. You get all that, and then the last third of the movie, it gets even more interesting because it's the repercussions of what happens to these guys after the heist is over.
And then the giant elephants with those huge tusks
come in and start beating people. There's no giant elephants in it. That's why people didn't go.
Oh, I got you.
But I'm telling you, The Bank Job, I loved it. Go check it out. It's really an entertaining movie, and I had no idea it was based on a true story, but apparently this all really happened in England back in the 70s. Really well done. Spiderwick Chronicles was number six. The Other Boleyn Girl, seven. Jumper was eight. Step Up, two. The Streets was number nine. Fool's Gold was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Matt Damon and his wife, Luciana.
Don't know.
I don't either. But People Magazine say this is, they're going to have another baby. They already had a year and a half toddler named Isabella. And they're going to have another one. This is the third child, actually, for the couple because Matt's wife has a 9-year-old daughter, Alexia, from a previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But that seemed like a nice couple, these kids.
Sure. Yep.
Good for them. Mm. Reportedly also expecting, according to the New York Post, is Kamora Lee Simmons.
Oh, no.
I feel bad for her two little girls. I don't know if you ever watched that show, but they seem like really sweet kids who are just being totally bent by their mothers.
pursuit of fame and fortune and preoccupation with things shiny and expensive. And yeah. these girls She's just being hateable. Raised like two little princesses.
What's the name of her show?
The
Life
style
in the
lane,
style lane
life
or something?
In the, life in the
I don't know.
Gassy lane?
It's horrible.
Don't remember
Not good.
Either.
Yeah.
Apparently, her boyfriend, Jamin Hunsu, is the father, according to the New York Post. No comment yet from either party.
I don't think that's an Asian name.
No, I think he's
not
he's
even
African, I believe. Jamin was in Blood Diamond. He was in Amistad. He was in America.
Really
and soon
actor.
Can be seen in Never Back Down, the new MMA movie.
Is that the one where they have a
this
party
twice,
and then they
twice
just...
Oscar nominated, by the way. He's doing MMA movies.
And then they just break out into a UFC-style fight?
Exactly. In order to protect the clubhouse or the rec center or something, they've got to throw down. But they never back down.
No.
Sure. I've always admired Russell Simmons. I like him very much. But I really... He went up a lot in my estimation when he made the decision to divorce Kumar Lee. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. He wised up pretty quick. And this is the greatest story ever. There's been a story circulating for some time. A rumor, if you will, that Tom Cruise had set up and auditioned his prospective wives after his relationship with Penelope Cruz ended, when he was looking to get married again.
Yeah. Yep.
Had a list, yeah.
The rumor was that he would look at a list of young Hollywood and said, I'm going to meet with these girls and I'm going to pick one, I'm going to audition one, and she's just going to be my wife, and that's the way it's going to be.
It's called the Tom Cruise Project or something like that?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting some confirmation for the first time about this story.
Yes.
A guy named Mark Headley, who used to produce the promotional films for Scientology,
yes,
spoke to Britain's newspaper, The News of the World, and said that following Tom's split from Penelope Cruz in 2004, Tom went to the head of Scientology, David Miscavige, and said he was having trouble meeting women. Apparently, there aren't a lot of them hanging out in men's saunas. So
he's the most heterosexual guy I know, Ralph.
Yes, that's what I meant. Well, it's, you know, a lot of heterosexual guys are hanging out in steam rooms.
Just check it. Very litigious, that
crunch in West Hollywood. And apparently, the church sent out a casting call, according to this Mark Headley. Said there was an upcoming Tom Cruise movie they'd like to see you about getting a part in. Come in for an audition.
Is this guy an ex-Scientologist, or
yes.
why would he be talking?
Yeah, he's left the religious. He's an ex-high-ranking Scientology official. The restrictions were you had to be single, pretty, and in your 20s for this role.
How long does the role last, Ralph?
Forever.
A few female scientists were rounded up. Apparently, Erica Christensen from Traffic and CSI Miami's Sophia Milos were also rejected because Tom wanted bigger stars. So they asked Jennifer Garner, Scarlett Johansson, and Jessica Alba, 1, 2, and 3, in that order to come in.
Those are all the names we heard at the time.
Mark said Jennifer and Jessica didn't bite. Scarlett took the bait and came in for an audition, but when she arrived and found out it was at the Scientology Center in Hollywood, she freaked out and didn't stay.
Good
choice. Fourth person on that list, Miss Katie Holmes.
But how did the audition work? I mean, was there an actual movie that they had the pretense of making you audition for to get you in the door and start talking to you about dating Tom?
There was a script, I know, written called Suri's Mom. You had to suckle a baby doll and say our life gets better and better every day over and over. Just one line over and
but
over
make
and
it
over
believable.
Again in the script, but make it believable.
Right, it is kind of creepy because of the Scientology angle, but if I'm a young single Hollywood star like Tom Cruise and I have the opportunity to date anyone in the world that I want, I can understand looking at a list and going, hey, who do I want to go out with next? You know what I mean? But that doesn't sound like what this was about at all.
How
Fifth
did
on the
he
list?
Have trouble meeting women? That's bizarre to me.
Fifth on the list behind Katie Holmes.
This is who would have been Suri's mom if Katie Holmes had not taken the bait. Orlando Bloom.
Says right here. Interesting.
That's funny.
A good choice.
Cuter than she is, but
I'm saying. Yeah.
Lisa's right, though. What about all the girls calling him in the middle of the night to get off drugs? I mean, what about that?
Maybe
or the car crashes that he comes across at the side of the road. Could he say one of them,
You would
Mary?
Think just the sheer number of people he rescues, he'd run across women in that situation, right? Today's celebrity birthdays... Carrie Underwood, former American Idol, now country music star. She's 25 years old today. Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam is 45. Magician Lance Burton from Vegas. Lance Burton, one of the highest paid performers in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Lance Burton.
Yeah, he's a magician.
No one knows who the hell he is outside of the city limits of Las Vegas.
I thought it was Nance Burton.
Always blows me. Who is Nance? It's Nance Burton.
Shut up.
Lisa May, by the way.
Come on, we can't turn everything against me.
Who have been listening for 4 hours, you got that joke. See, because Kevin hates a guy named Stu Lance, works for the Lakers, and keeps calling him Stu Nance.
Yeah. I knew his real name. I was doing it on purpose.
Sure. Lance Burton was one of those guys who won the Entertainer of the Year in Las Vegas like 20 times or something, right? But
He's the Danny Gans of magic is who he is.
Exactly.
He's 48 years old today.
He's a dish.
Sharon Stone turns 50. Shannon Tweed is 51. And Chuck Norris, the legendary Chuck Norris, who now is selling you home gym equipment, is 68 years old today. Looks pretty good for 68, though. I gotta give him that.
Sure.
His tears still cure cancer, too,
they do,
right?
Yes, that is correct. Sure.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I love this story, by the way. You guys remember the name Jill Sobule? Very popular singer. Played her here on K-Rock a few years ago. Here's a little piece of her song you may remember from K-Rock.
I kissed a girl.
Went on after that to continue to make albums, some of which are very, very good. Well, she's back in the news lately because she went to her fans to raise the money to make a new record. She needed $75,000, but rather than get an advance from a record label, as she used to do, she went straight to the fans and said, hey, pony up, what do you got? Mission accomplished, ladies and gentlemen. $75,000 in the can in less than 2 months to make a new record.
Really?
It might be the new business model we thought. We got to find out more about this. Jill Sobule joins us on the phone on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Jill.
Hello, everyone.
Uh-oh, did we wake you up?
No. I just have a frog voice. I've got that little bug in my throat. But I think I like my voice like this. I'm going to do my record now.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations. That's got to be a load off your mind to now have the money. You can go in and make the record that you want to make, right?
And you know what? I can't actually believe it. I wasn't even sure that I could do half the amount I did. I'm pretty shocked and amazed and grateful too.
Now you've worked for several record companies, right?
Yeah, I've been on two majors and two pretty inept major indies.
Right, and that's kind of where you get the music from. I guess that's what all bands are trying to get is a record deal so they can get the money to make the CDs.
Right, and so what you do, I mean, the basic old model is that you get an advance from a record company, and at the end of it, maybe you will see a dime, maybe not, and maybe they won't do anything for it, and then you don't own the record.
Hmm. Right. Now, clearly, Jill, you knew that you were in a position where you could go back into debt to make another record and then try to recoup that. But you knew that you had a pretty good fan base, right? I mean, you've been touring all these years. You go all over the country. I mean, you've got a lot of people out there who still support you, right?
Oh, yeah. So, but I didn't know how, you know, I didn't know if any of them had a dime.
Cash.
So it was pretty great. And if you look at, have you guys looked at the different levels?
Mm-hmm. I have.
From polished rock to weapons-grade plutonium.
Yeah,
and weapons-grade plutonium is the 10,000, which was just kind of a joke where someone could sing a song with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one.
You got a $10,000 donation?
She's from London, and she's coming, and she said, thank God we have computer programs where you can, you know, make a voice sound okay.
I thought that was interesting because you, from the AP story, said you get to come sing on my CD. Don't worry if you can't sing, we can fix that on our end.
Exactly.
Might be a lot of fixing, Jill.
Who cares?
Well, now let me ask you about that because I'm sure you've gotten a lot of reaction across the spectrum when people have heard your story, Jill. But I mean, is there some part of you artistically that says, wow, I really don't want my record to suffer because of the way I raised the money? If this girl can't sing, I don't want her to sing on a song on my album. Does that bother you at all?
No, she can sing background or it can be one of the kind of funny, jokey songs at the end.
For $500, you will mention a person's name in the song.
Yeah, I'm going to do an instrumental track at the end where I'm going to mention all the people who gave that amount.
Do you know
and
how
I'll
many
I'll
that
try
was?
To rhyme with their last name, yeah. Something.
Do you have any idea how many of those there were in the $500 gold level?
Let me see. I'm going to look it up. I don't even know on the right off the bat. But there were quite a few, so I have a lot of work ahead of me. Oh, there's 23.
23?
That is impressive.
That's going to be a horrible song. Isn't it, Jill?
It's going to be hideous, but as long as it's got a good beat.
I guess. Wow. I think it was Kevin Smith who did, if you add me as a friend on MySpace, I'll thank you at the end of the movie, one of his recent
That's right.
And there were like
I mean, it ran through a screen of thousands of names at the end of the credits.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That's so funny.
Only you're going to sing them.
Yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be exciting.
Jill, did anyone take you up on the $1,000 platinum lever where you write a song for them to put on their answering machine?
Yeah, I have, right now, I think there was more, but I think eight of those.
My gosh.
How about that? Answering machine.
They get their, well, they get their theme songs. Their personal theme song.
That's kind of cool.
I have a feeling I'm going to write them like the Mary Tyler Moore theme song, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. $5,000 diamond level. You go to somebody's house and do a concert. They can invite their friends, serve some drinks, bring you out. You sing. Any takers on that?
Three of those.
No kidding.
Jill's going to be busy.
So you're going to be doing concerts at people's homes.
Answering machine songs.
Wow. You know, the thing about this is that I have with every person from whatever, from the $5 level to the $10,000 level, I've personally emailed everyone and their comments, and it's really getting me in touch with the fans. And also, it's just, I'm having so much fun doing this.
I can't imagine it's a lot of fun to write an answering machine song.
Oh, no, it's going to be great.
Come on, Jill.
No, I can see why it would be fun, because you've done the same old so many times in a row over the years, and this is something new and exciting and fresh, and like you say, it really gives you a chance to touch base with your fans, and, you know, you've got a lot of kooky, rabid fans, I know that.
And the great thing about it is that it is kind of empowering for an artist, and I'm not alone, but we're kind of like special needs kids.
Yeah.
Where we wait for our manager, we wait for the record company to do everything for us, and we just do our art. And that's the way I've always been until the last couple months. I'm like, no, we can actually kind of rely on ourselves more.
Right.
And I'm sure this makes your fans more invested in this new CD as well.
Well, especially the ones who donated.
They're excited. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and also I'm going to keep up the site where I'm going to have, people can comment. I'll put some rough tracks on. They can comment on the songs they like more than others. And so it's going to be, you know, kind of like the people's record. I've got to come up with a good name for my record company, you guys.
Your record company.
I need help.
Okay, well, we'll think about
records.
That one.
Sell out records.
Sell out records.
There you go.
For how much money would it cost to have you answer my door? Would you do that?
Sure.
If someone knocks, like, Jill Sobule answers the door and sings.
I kissed a girl. With that money, is I'm debating on using that all, or just spending like $100 on my garage band and going to Vegas tomorrow.
Oh, good.
There you go. That's a good plan right there. That's the way to take the listeners, man, and just abuse their trust, just violate them.
I was wondering, though, you can make a CD for a lot less than $75,000, can't you?
Well, but that's not just for the recording the record. This is for everything. This is for, I mean, how I wouldn't even be able to afford to be on your, to try to be on your station with that amount of money. This is going to be for promo, for marketing, for publicity.
Uh-huh.
So that takes out the bigger chunk of it.
The song we want is Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Ted. Thanks for giving me money.
Okay, you know what?
We want that one.
If you guys play me, I will so write you guys a theme song.
Oh, look at that. Our own theme song.
And it'll be grand with strings, horns.
I got to tell you, though, Jill, when we first saw this story, we laughed because we thought, wow, she's not going to get any money. And then 2 months later, you got all of it. That's pretty amazing.
I know. I'm shocked too. I mean, it was kind of an odd thing to do, but
now is this a loan? Are you going to pay back this money, or they're just donating it?
No, it's donating, and they get things like I'm not giving them back money after I write a theme song. Are you crazy?
Okay, yeah, right. They know what they get. You spelled it out pretty clearly for them what they get. Isn't it funny?
No,
of all the people,
it's. I mean, most of them were for the $10 level, which is that they will get an advanced copy of the CD. So
right, they get a free download of it right before
right.
people.
Sure.
Buy. Okay.
Here's what I love best about this, and it's awesome that you came on with us today, Joe. We've enjoyed talking to you. But what I love best is that Jill Sobule, of all the people in the world, is shocked how many Jill Sobule fans there are. That's what really surprises me.
Well, I guess it's not so shocking. I just didn't know that people would, in these days when everyone's so ADD and there's not too much time to do things, that people would actually go on the site and spend time to
and then send your money. I mean, it's not like that business model has been explored too much.
No.
In fact, I would like to do this. Now I'm a record mogul. Did you guys know? As of today,
sure.
I want to do this with other people. I think this would be really great. You could do it for any models. You could have Ken's nextcondo.com. No.
Sure. All right.
I mean, for other artists, whether they have 10 fans and they want to raise $1,000 or they have more, this is a model that anyone could really use.
If you want to keep up with the progress of the next record, the website is jillsnextrecord.com. We've been talking to Jill Sobule. Thanks for sharing the story with us today on K-Rock, Jill.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. Bye now.
K-Rock. We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. We are cleaning out the prize closet today, guys. Everything must go. Listen to this. We'll give you a pair of lift passes to join K-Rock at Bear Mountain this Saturday the 15th.
Okay.
Plus a copy of South Park Imagination Land.
Mm-hmm. Episodes
DVD.
1, 2, and 3, which are awesome.
Yes, they're very funny. Plus, Lil Bush, resident of the United States, also on DVD, available tomorrow in stores. You get all of that just for being on with Kevin and Bean's What to Do Now.
And Kevin and Bean's The Year They Recalled Santa CD, where you get a box of those, I think we'll give out too.
And a Michael the Maiden's Band t-shirt. All of that, call right now.
The deep, deep closet, that prize closet.
As you know, we are giving away Xbox 360s or a PS3 along with Guitar Hero 3. And let's take a call from Parker in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Parker.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You have a problem with Guitar Hero 3?
I have no problem with Guitar Hero 3. I'm obsessed with it.
Right.
Okay. And how's that affecting your life, young man?
Well, I was a nice up-and-coming student, and then I decided to challenge my friend to a Guitar Hero off.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that I could get gold stars on all of the songs before he could.
Right.
And it took me about 12 hours.
You played Guitar Hero 3 for 12 hours straight?
12 hours straight.
Don't you get like a blister on your thumb?
Well, luckily I have no life.
Yeah.
And my one friend plays Guitar Hero, so he understood.
Okay.
And it kind of worked out, except that I missed my midterm for my math class.
Missed your midterm. That's all right.
Yeah.
It's not important. We'll let that slide.
Look, you'll get benefits from Guitar Hero long after the benefits from college are long forgotten.
That's right. Thank you for the call.
Isn't Blister on the Thumb, isn't that one of the songs on Guitar Hero?
I don't think so. Let's go to Craig in Fontana. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Craig?
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
What's going on, Craig?
Hey, I want to celebrate. I need to know when Butthole Week is.
Oh, it's coming up, isn't it, Lisa?
Yes, it is.
Lisa's been stretching in the studio a lot.
It's the week of March 24th. I'll be off that week.
March 24th.
As you know, I'm not participating this year. I'm a celebrity judge.
Oh, is that right?
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't know they had judges.
It's going to be in San Francisco, and
really?
You are certainly welcome. I would recommend coming later in the week because, you know, the early competitions will get rid of the bad people.
Sure.
But then later in the week, we have the
like
really
American
good
Idol.
People. Exactly.
You go through the bad people
Don't
first.
Sit in the front row, though. You got to wear a rain poncho.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
That's not
Please,
good.
Come join us.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do, Mike?
Baby boo.
Hi.
Hey, so I was talking to a teacher, and I heard that kids have been finding a new way to get drunk in school, and that is using tampons up their rectum dipped in Jack Daniels.
Nope.
No?
Well, what a horrible way to treat Jack, by the way. My good friend Jack.
That's a
and
terrible
secondly,
idea.
What's wrong with the old way of getting drunk?
No kidding.
Remember when people used to drink alcohol and get a load on? When did that stop working for everybody?
It's not fast enough anymore, Ralph. Apparently
Jesus.
You have to get I mean, just like Amy Winehouse with the snorting vodka. You've got to get it immediately into your bloodstream now.
Is it because they can't get loaded during class?
Yes.
They can't wait till in between periods anymore? They have to get it while they're in math class sitting on a soaked tampon?
Well, sometimes you got to do it right away, you know? What are you going to do?
America's speeding up fast, you guys. It is definitely ADD land, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, do we have time for Jesus
no.
in Norwalk?
No.
On line 8, I think we can squeeze him in.
Jesus?
Yes.
What?
Okay, just wondering, is it a coincidence that you went to the game, the Laker game, yesterday, and the hockey game?
Kings game, right?
On Saturday.
Right, two games.
And they both lost?
They lost both games you went to?
Interesting.
I didn't know the Lakers
way
lost.
To go, kiss
yeah,
of death.
Lakers lost by one.
Wow.
Kings lost by two or three.
Are you the fan that maybe they don't want to see in the stands?
I don't think I'm bad luck. I've seen a lot of wins, Jesus.
Well, you've also broken up a few of my favorite bands.
That's true.
Them, yeah,
that's accurate.
You're giving up on that, are you?
Might as well. It's just not worth the fight.
Yeah, I did it.
All right, Jesus, thank you for the call. By the way, you know Ralph Kevin has this new thing where he can't come up with anybody's name, right?
Right. Right.
He's got the Stu Nance and he's got the Rob Durden, right? You know? I got an email from Kevin's lovely wife that told me how many hours during the game yesterday he was trying to put the name Val Kilmer to the face of the guy who was sitting around in his section.
He was sitting at the
game.
Who
is that guy? What's that guy's name? Oh, I know that guy. He's like a Batman guy. That guy. Who is that guy?
Yeah. He's the guy in the doors. Come on.
Who was like who 2 hours?
My wife.
You.
No, she knew it. She wouldn't tell me.
She wouldn't
tell you. Not going to tell you. You got to figure it out yourself.
She's torturing you now. That's good. Torturing the mentally ill. That's quite a family you got over there.
That's not right.
It's got Beavis and Butthead. Both in the marriage. That's nice.
I want to thank our special guest, Jane Sobule, for joining us today. Oh, wait, it's Jill. If you want more progress on her record, it's jillsnextrecord.com. That's all for today, but what a show we have planned for you tomorrow.
Bean believes that he would be a good news anchor.
As I would, by the way.
Inexplicably believes that.
Because he likes news.
Out of the blue.
I like sports. Well, I don't. But if I did, it wouldn't make me a good
athlete. Football. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to play quarterback for the Eagles.
Yeah.
You're not
How
beating.
Hard is it to read off the teleprompter? Come on, you guys.
Probably harder than
hard.
You think.
Also, Psycho Mike's wife is leaving him. We'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Ways you found out you were fired tomorrow. Dave, the creator, VoteForTheWorst.com. Lewis Black. There are 7 new deadly sins, according to the Pope. All that tomorrow morning, along with Xbox 360s, a PS3, and you get to get Guitar Hero 3.
I'm sorry?
You heard me. I don't have time to do that again.
CatCord is coming up next. The latest from Foo Fighters is called Let It Die. We'll hear that. Also, Death Cab for Cutie, Nirvana, Rise Against, Sublime, and more next on K-Rock.